نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Oh, we got a flag and a culture and a dialect. I'm seeing that. I can't help it. Oh, no one comes along like the brother said. Honestly, somebody's blowing up with Two Faces Nation's on, right? Some people are already in it, bucket deep. How they gonna get out now? Well, they went around their family saying, listen, you better keep your book with all black homage, and get the message, and that's from Hunter Star. The whole family's gonna kill Kevin. Hey, that's what grandma thought about Jesus was born, brother. I got all this dialogue going, and now someone says, you're wrong. What do I do with that? I gotta go back to my brothers and say, first, you know, niggas don't apologize. But I gotta go back and say, I was wrong about everything I said to you. We don't do that. We say, I knew it all the time. I was just with him. I knew it was something a little greater coming. I just walked alongside him for a while. That's the stuff we do. Now that it's come down, the Taliban just came on the other day. Instead of saying we did things, they say, everything I was taught, I feel is wrong. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It means I feel it's wrong. It doesn't mean the honorable Elijah Muhammad is wrong. It don't seem right to me. And hope that someone don't say, he claimed himself. Something he never did anyway. He only did a time of election. He never really explained himself. He had taken the time to explain himself to his career. He would have been better understood. But when you have a doctrine that doesn't explain itself, like, believe me. Say, I don't want to believe you. I want to know. We didn't have faith then. I don't want any faith. I want some facts. I want some confirmation, some conviction, some realities. I had enough of that crap. What happens? What happens to the Bible of the system when people start to question? If it's not founded on any firm principles, it starts to fall apart. And believe you or not, the worst thing the white man could ever did was to put a computer in the black man's hand. Because he took illiterate people and made them literate. So Christians say, that's what Jesus meant when he told me to meet the dumbfound of God. Now that's a good verse for you to work with. You ain't got no sense to use it though. I would have said, all the Christians, that's what God meant. You will bring the computer and make a meet. Sometimes I wanted to see right now, find things about Hebrew and all the languages and just all the things called Novus Bible and lexicon, just break down words and see how things are just not the way you've been saying it was when I had the King James Version when I was sourcing. And I don't feel good though. I want you to come back on the air and straighten this mess up. Who do I ask? The Pope? Who do I ask? Just straighten the mess out. I know when it comes to Egyptology, I know who y'all at. Me. And my job is to sit here and address these things. Where the other guys? I'm addressing questions for Muslims, Jews, and Christians, and I can't ask nobody questions. And I got some, I guess you know I got some questions. I will 150 questions ask anybody who wants some trouble, and some people I haven't met yet. I got some questions to ask. You know, niggas can always ask questions. You hear me? Because they can't stand it. That's a sign for us in the day and time. designed us to put it all behind us and move. Like I said earlier over there, we can find ourselves, our faces on the wall in Egypt, this nose, eyes, and hair question. Right on down to our pot bellies, our not knees, our women with big hips and thin calves. All that's on the wall of Egypt, sisters. We see it. And in those pouches, it's all the shame. It's on the wall in Egypt. And if that's what the Egyptian woman looks like, then hell, y'all beautiful love, because that's who we are. We got to stop chasing a little bit of tweeting. There was a little frail white girl with nothing. And that's what it's about. We going to have to accept it because what? You with me? And we got to move to this new millennium. A new message to people. You know what that message is? I'm from Missouri. Show me. Hello. Simple as this. I mean, Rev, I love you. Guy, my grandmother prayed there. My great-grandmother in the church. I was raised in the morning. Show me, Bob. Can I talk to you in your office privately? I don't want to insult you in front of the congregation. And you might do some gas for you. Talk to you over here in private. And I want to talk to you about me bringing my kids here. Because my mother brought me here for Sunday school. I didn't realize they were saying Egyptian God's son. At the end of every prayer, we said, and I didn't know we were talking about the God Amun-Ra. I didn't realize it. I was dumbfounded. I was brainwashed. When I said Jesus is the bright early morning star, I didn't say that's the son. Jesus walks the water. The sun walks the water every morning. When it comes up, the light walks the water. They're short. I couldn't see all that. I couldn't see the mystical meaning of the Bible. But I was blinded by the light. Right? That light hit me in my face, and I couldn't see. See, the Freemasons and them give you this about when you get in the lodge, and it's dark, when they take the blindfold off, now you can't see. That's not true. If I blindfold you and take you into a lit room, when I pull the blindfold off, it takes time for your eyes to adjust to that room. You are still blind and at my mercy. You hear me? But what they're really telling us is that we are not eternal beings. You do know that, right? And if we get into a black room, pitch black, it takes a little while for our eyes to adjust. Where does the light come from, brother? Where does it come from? I'm all the way back over there. You know how I teach, right? You'll think I forgot about someone way over there. Where does it come from? If I walk into all black room, after a while I begin to see inside, the light came on somewhere. Where did the light come on at? Right inside here, in the soul. The soul, the word soul in Latin is sun. The light comes on inside and gives me the ability to see in dark, and that's what makes a nocturnal creature. They can pull light out of darkness and see it. Caucasians can't do it. You follow? And that's why they make you sleep with the light on. They always sleep with the light on. Islam teaches that, Christianity, don't never sleep in the dark. You know why? Because you'll learn to face yourself. You know the bad thing about facing yourself? Sometimes you scare the hell out of you. Now you know you went in the room by yourself. And you know you shut the door behind you. Right? Ain't nobody in the room but you and you. All of a sudden, you lay there saying something. Something's watching me. You ever get that feeling? You look at the coat on the wall, on the door, and it's your coat. You hung the coat there. And all of a sudden, the coat becomes a man looking at you like this. The man with. You know what that is? You know what that is? That's the devil inside you trying to get out and attack you. Ain't nobody in the room but you, God. And if there's a you, God, there's also a you, devil, there. Because you know we're just as good as we are bad. And anybody walking around saying, holy, got a lot of holes in their stuff. Ain't no preacher, teacher, no Pope is speaking. Believe me, if you're mortal, you have mistakes. And any man who thinks he doesn't have mistakes, don't trust him. One of the the models I've been teaching y'all for years, and I'll say it again today, and I'll enumerate them. Don't believe me. Check it out. And I just ask every preacher, every teacher, make that same declaration. Don't believe them. Don't believe nothing I'm saying. Say, that thing's crazy. That's what you say. He's nuts. I ain't believe it. And he said, I'm going to check it out. Check it out. Investigate it. Scrutinize it. I've been around teachers since 1970, been being asked questions every week for men, and have never yet had a problem with it. I don't care where they come from or what their doctrine is or how heavy they think they are, I walk with them. Some of y'all were right here with me doing it. I'm saying the same thing, don't believe what I say, check it out. But also say that to them. Don't just do it to me. Go to the shrine of Black Madonna, let me ask you a question. Why shrine? That word right there, why shrine? You know what shrine is. Why that? Why the Black Madonna? You say, why black? And why Madonna? I'm not talking about the singer Madonna. Y'all sick, y'all niggas sick. I ain't talking about Madonna, sorry, bro. I'm talking about, you know, the whole thought of Madonna put us back into the Roman doctrine of Christianity. And a blessed Mother Mary. A Mary, the Mother of God. That's kind of strange. God is all powerful, almighty, and got a mother. God was born. I mean, God was born in a manger. God was passing through the cavity or the channel of a woman. God came out and had a cord that had to be cut. And then God had to have the liquid that's in his lungs pumped out, otherwise God would have drowned the moment he was born. God was dependent. Can God ever be dependent and be God? Can God be born and be God? Do you see what they've done to us? Can God have a mother? And the mother precedes God? The mother was there first. If she gave birth to God. Are you with me? Well, the mother was there first, and the mother is. Mary was God. Jesus was the Son of God. Ain't that what they said? But Mary was God. Now you say, wait a minute, man, that sounds kind of crazy. Of course it sounds crazy when you are under a belief system. But when you start analyzing the facts, let's do a little scientific thing. Alright. Jesus, all you who walk with me, yeah, you know him though. Jesus was a little girl child, right? No! Jesus was a boy child. That means Jesus had an X and Y chromosome. Right? Like all other men on the planet. If Jesus was a man, and you knew he was a man because he got circumcised on the 8th day. That helps us to know him. You know what that means if women don't. Some of us even remember it. So Jesus, according to the Bible, was circumcised on the 8th day. That's established that Jesus was a man. He belongs to the male gender. And that means Jesus had an X and Y from me. Alright. Now, Mary gave birth to Jesus. Is that right? That's what the Bible teaches us. That's true. And women, female gender, only have two X, no Y chromosome. Correct? Mary was by herself. When the angel Gabriel came to her and said, Hail Mary, full of grace. Thou hast chosen of all the women in the world. You are about to conceive, right, of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God. And you should call his name Emmanuel, meaning God be with us, oh God is with us. Ain't that what the Bible says? Now I have a problem. All that sounds good for nice stories. Good for prayer. Good for that kind of thing. When I come down to the scientific part of this thing, then I have a problem. You know what I mean? The problem is, where did the Y chromosome come from? Now the angel Gabriel came, we know Gabriel's a man, because the book of Daniel said Gabriel is a man. That's Gabriel. We know Gabriel's token. For those who know what I mean. For those who don't, Gabriel had semen if he was a man. And in Gabriel's semen, there had to be a Y chromosome. I'm not saying Gable did ain't even married yet. I ain't saying this either. I want to get all the way to get this thing in place first so we'll find out if it makes any sense. You with me? So here we got Mary, a woman, 2X chromosomes. No why. The angel comes to Mary and tells her she's going to give birth to a son. He's predicting there's going to be a Y chromosome there. Mary ends up pregnant. Joseph didn't do it. Joseph came home with a Y chromosome, but Joseph was dope. We know that because he had other children. And Joseph wanted to know, Mary, you know what? I'm pregnant. Stop. Let's get away from the religion and the crap and get to reality. Mary's pregnant. Now, the point that she's pregnant, he has no idea of knowing whether it's a male or female child. Correct? He don't know yet until the baby's born. But now we got 9 months to figure this thing out. Correct? There ain't nothing deep about it because the same guy, Gabriel, he gets around. Gabriel also visited Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, a couple of months earlier, and visited her. And her husband, Zachariah, a priest, was saying, I ain't got it up in you. I ain't had a resurrection or erection. And yeah, I can't have no baby. No, I mean, like, he's asking Elizabeth, how you get pregnant? It's a real, let's get all the religious crap and get down to it. It was you when you came home and your wife said, I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Well, I want to talk to the Holy, with the first name Holy, like in Holyfield, or like his last name Ghost. I was talking to him. He was paying me by the Holy Water. That's the ghost. Y'all don't come up where that baby came from. Don't run that crap like you would say. Oh, darling. That is so wonderful. You was in your room or your tent by yourself, and a light came down, and it overpowered you, and now you're pregnant. Baby, that's good. We're going to walk this thing together. Bull crap. Give me that braided hand going sandals around and tipping over bringing sticks. And braided angel wings. Give me blow y'all. And blow your Joseph. Read your Bible. So Joseph, in his mind, could not imagine how Mary could have got pregnant. And he wasn't thinking about it. Well, I'm trying to figure out if she got pregnant when he wasn't there. Well, somebody was in there with a Y chromosome. Scientific fact versus religious bullcrap that we've been indoctrinated with by the slave master who gave us the same religion that he enslaved us with. Same bullcrap. To make us turn the other cheek so he can keep slapping us. So he keeps me and you on the bottom of the totem pole. He keeps making us worship his image and his likeness. Image is me. I ain't going to fall. But I still want to know where in the Y chromosome. I know if I was Joseph, I'd be mad as all hell. And you would not be able to tell me that no light came in the house and you got pregnant. Would you, bud? Religion in the world won't support that in my mind. But when Jesus was born in the manger, we're doing a Christmas thing. And wise men knew about it. Everybody knew Joseph's business. He came from Persia. All of the Persian would have been, that was his business then. Joseph
hurts, especially when he's thrilled there to hear four
and work it inside and use it so I can use it against me. So we as a people can't unite. That's how they want to do. And they make us believe bullcrap, unreality, fiction, fable, Tarzan, Superman, Bionic Man, Superwoman, a little talking rat now. The hell next? God is aiming tornadoes.
I know tornadoes in no black neighborhood. What's the possibility of 20 tornadoes missing black neighborhoods? Earthquake, landslide, planes. Now, you know why the planes are crashing and the trains are crashing? Because the Y2K we knew, because our doctor told us, don't be looking at 12 o'clock midnight, look past it, because the calendar's on. But the planet's on a 23-degree axis, so the time zone is not accurate any longer. We knew this for the price of having a Y2K. They didn't think, oh, it's a love bug today. It's a love letter tomorrow. It's a so-and-so. Everybody knows that America collapsed. It's a stock market fell right after the year 2000. And they still haven't been able to pick it up. Everybody knows it's a reality. Everybody knows these love bugs are part of Y2K. Computers are shutting down. And they're calling them love bugs, but they can't explain it. Hackers don't even know what's going on. Come on, folks. Wake up, y'all. Get out of the coffin. Stop believing it. The man's power has fallen. He is down like Goliath on one knee, David. It's time for you to pick up that sword and take his head. Otherwise, he's going to get up. And I don't mean take his head violently, because you ain't got no stealth. You got a 9mm. You can shoot it yourself with a 9mm. Oh, they're going to call a whole bunch of them up this here ground. I think you're going to really fight. We're going to go back. We ain't got that kind of war no more. It's a war of dependency. The man is depending on you now. He ain't making agreements with China because he wants to. He's making agreements with China because he has to. He don't want to deal with it. But China don't have no love for America and no fear for them. The Chinese men are not attracted to white women. But nigger men are. Chinese men are satisfied with their woman. Indians are satisfied with only people trying to get out their races is you. Trying to save white women. Avoid women of color. That's what you do. You go past Oriental, past Latino, and go right after some blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, canine.
Sorry, but it's a villain. It's just on me.
Hello, wake up. I'm dancing. Funny nigga, you know one of the most satisfying things I see on television is when a hurricane wipes it away. And they be standing there like this.
I don't know what we do. I mean, the house is going, dog is dead.
I like that look.
I'm like, we had that look on our face the last 100 years.
You know exactly how you feel. What you living was the hurricane was coming in, taking our stuff, destroying our neighborhoods and blaming us. Landlords not fixing up the property, bringing it down to the ghetto, and then saying that's the way we want to live. Not giving us equal opportunities or fair shot, and then calling us bums. Because we don't want to work in McDonald's. You understand? And I want a piece of the rock. I want my share of this thing. If I feel I'm qualified to make the money as a man, I should be able to get it. But no, you can't. You get held back. Now, how long are we going to do this? How long are we going to go for this? Or are we going to take what we have as Egyptians, build for what we got, and start providing jobs for our own? Start doing for self. Like all Elijah Muhammad said, self-kind, fill our own stuff. We got brothers now all throughout the police department, sheriff's department, all day get them jobs. There's not one organization that ever said go get a job as a cop. But us. Go become the judges. Become the lawyers, the DAs, the county clerks, the magistrate. Get all up inside there. Right now, when you walk into most restaurants in Georgia, somebody goes, roll back. Now move out of the restaurants and move into the board of education. Become the principals and the teachers and the doctors and the nurses and the doctor's assistants. So when I get there, you'll be going, roll back. I'm going to get a needle. I'm going to take my pants down in front of one of y'all. Then turn my back on some cracker now.
well, nowadays or any days, for that matter. You understand what I'm talking about? And we got the power to do it. We got the power to do it. You see all these folks out here? We got the power to do it. Because the mysteries of teaching treat you. Secrets. Silence. And now you can have it. Now you can enter into each gift and learn who and what. Who built the world? Why? Medicine. How? Secrets. Symbols. Be you. Enter.
As you were talking a few minutes ago about the Semitic languages of the scriptures, the Arabic and the Hebrew, how does that correlate to the Nuwabic language?
All right. What people always want to know is why is there so much Arabic or Hebrew in Nuwabic? The truth is that the people called the Hikhet Hasus or the Hyksos were from the Canaanite tribe. The Canaanite tribe migrated into Egypt around the 15th dynasty and stayed in there for 430 years. While there, of course, they took on the Egyptian culture. And they also took on some of the language and dialect. And then they migrated back out of there and went back to the land of Canaan, set up the city of Kadesh. And now they had this new dialect they were speaking that was different from the original Aramic or Ugaric, different from the original Akkadian, different from the original cuneiform script. They had something that had new words because they were in a new environment. And for instance, if I never was exposed to sand, I came up here to the Israel sand, and I spoke a certain language. When I got here, and I asked this young lady, what is this stuff here, you know? What is this? You would say, sand. And I'd go, say it again.
Sand.
And go, sand. Sand. And I go back to my people and say, them animals to feed with animals. And I said, that's it, that's it. I met this man. The Holy Spirit, he has informed me, I am going to show you funny stuff called sand. I can't translate it in my language. I have to say, oh, they're not sand. So now, other guys who are there for my language, as they go up and talk, they say, you know, what's name talking about some bright, flaky stuff called everything and everything is in the language until they come to the word sand. So when a group of people migrate to another place and they start seeing things in other languages that pertain to that place, they grasp it into their language. Thus you have what's called a dialect. The pronunciation is usually shot. So now what happens is you have Egyptian. Let me go back further than that, if I may. When you're reading the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, they speak about the rivers of Pisan and Gihon. The word Pisan is broken into two words, this and on. I should have said it in Hebrew, this, not this. Pisan and Gihon. And Gihon is really saying this on. On is the deity of what? The Atlantis of Egypt. Those two rivers are actually in the Torah, in the Old Testament, had two Egyptian names, but they're making it look like that these are Hebrew names, but they admit that Abraham was first called Hebrew in Genesis chapter 13. So you know where in the world those rivers could be Hebrew names, but the language didn't exist yet. So therefore, anything between from Genesis 13 back, anybody's name you got is Egyptian. That's interesting, because Ibrahim was the first one called Hebrew. And they called him Ibrit, which is the way to say Hebrew, simply because he crossed the Tigris Euphrates Valley, and the word Ibrit means to come from one side to the other, to cross over. So the people on the other side spoke a language, and they said to him, God is it, or behold the Ibrit, the man who crossed over.
So therefore, the very word Hebrew is not even Hebrew. The man he was talking to was Phoenician, because they lived between the Tigris and the Valley. So the word Ivrit, Hebrew, is a Phoenician word, not a Hebrew word. You see what I'm saying? So now here we are, back in Genesis, where they speak about the land of Cush, because they say that the goal of that land, Cush, and they use the word Ethiopian in Genesis, way back in Genesis. But Cush was not born until Genesis chapter 10. And if Cush was not born until Genesis chapter 10, who was the Cush being mentioned in Genesis chapter 2? This implies that those people that they say lived near the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, that the flood that they say applies to Noah really took place in Egypt. The Mount of Ararat was not over there in Persia. It was in Egypt. And that's why they've been digging in Persia for the last 2,000 years and haven't found the ark. They can dig for another 2,000 years and they won't find the ark. But they have found many arks or Menjek along the Nile. And the Nile used to go straight up and it sprinkles into the Mediterranean Sea. And then flows straight into the Persian Gulf. If I'm there, so you think of a flood exploding upwards in the tide, and it now moves from down in South Africa upwards. If an ark was built there, it would lift it up, take it through the Mediterranean with the Suez Canal, then it would go off. It would follow the tide off into the mountains. But, next point, Cush, the name, Ethiopia, is mentioned in Genesis 2, and Cush wasn't born until Genesis 10. Then the word Ham. Many scholars, especially the Greeks who visited there, they didn't call the place Egypt first. They called the place Kemet, or Kemet, or Hamim. And that's the same as the word Ham, who was related to Cush. You see? Now the Bible tells us that the Egyptians, and whenever it uses the word Egyptian, they use the word Mitzrayim. They use the word Mitzrayim. They say that Mitzrayim was in Egypt. But they don't speak of the migration of Mitzrayim from Sumeria to Egypt. Because what happened is they have to trace how they left Egypt, went over to the Middle East, and then return back home. And that's why you have the three dynastic period of people coming back in, trying to fight for their land. And the Phoenicians and them are fighting to get back in Egypt, because they're trying to get back in, but they had already been out there in the land of Canaan and mixing with the Canaanites. So the Egyptians didn't accept them, because they were mixed, and they were trying to keep their so-called bloodline pure, but they gave in succession by blood relatives and say, well, we did not do. And then son, father, son. They couldn't have tribes who went off and mixed. And that's why if you look in the Bible, the story of Jacob and Esau, you find as soon as Esau gets mad because his birthright is taken, he's not going to marry some Edomites. He was fighting against even with Isaac by saying, well, because Isaac gave Jacob my rights, I'm just going to marry out my tribe. That was a big thing. So the Egyptians, who were people of the Bible, the same people, had the same goal. And they did not want to mix seed back in. So the Kishet Hasus came back in, fought their way in, gradually took over, and set up. And didn't get put out until Atmos and then rose up against them and chased them, which was the original Israelites. You think about the Hyksos, that was the original Israelites in Egypt, pushed them out back to them. So you'll find, therefore, that the languages are mixed. So the ancient Semitic languages are coming out of ancient Egypt, and thus Arabic is going to have words in it that sounds like Arabic or Hebrew, because they came from mixing with Egyptians and then took it back to the Middle East. Okay?
All right, that. I'm an Eastern Star, and And I was wondering, as I seek to become a daughter of Isis, how... I'm kind of nervous. Right. Me. Become a daughter of Isis.
If you are an Eastern star, then you're already a daughter of Isis, especially if you intend to become one. Because everybody's heart gets there before your heart.
What are my goals so far as becoming an Eastern star and as far as with the shrine?
Lady Shrine.
Lady Shrine.
The Lady Shrine's job is the same as ours. You have to help us find Mary. And where Mary is going to give birth to Jesus on earth. And we have to be there to create a circle around him. And you have to be there to help us the same way Fatima went out into the field to protect her father when he was struck down. Your job is just as hard as ours. And that's why the Eastern Star's doctrine is based on Christianity, much more than Christianity. Most of your teachers in Eastern Star is based on that star from the East, the star that who acknowledged? Was it the Christians, the Jews, who acknowledged the star? Who acknowledged the star? Who followed the star? The wise men. Now, the wise men are thought of to be three men who stepped into the time of history, did a great act, and then just disappeared. Is that not right? Stepped in, went to the manger, saw the child who they referred to not as God, but as the king, Melech, looked down at him, gave gifts, and took and went and met Herod. And they found out that Herod had a scheme to kill Jesus. They went back and told Jesus, Joseph, Herod is getting ready to kill your son. Then they went back to Herod. Herod asked him, did you see the boy? He said, no, wait a second. Right? And then Joseph was visited by an extraterrestrial, which is called an angel in the Bible. Angelos just means a messenger. Angelos. A messenger from God came down and said, came from somewhere now. I can get touchy here too. And went to Joseph and told Joseph, you take my son, God says, take my son out of this city and take him to Egypt and sojourn there until Herod dies. With me? Are you ready for the upset? Huh? Why was that necessary? Why was that at all necessary? Why would God have to hide his son? Why couldn't God just wave his hand and nobody touch his son? Was it predestined, as most Christians teach, that Jesus would be raised to the age of 33 and then crucified? If that was predestination, then why would they have to move Jesus out of Bethlehem? Because it was predestined by God and God's plan. There's nobody under heaven and earth that could have done anything that way. So if God had to tell them, the angel, to take Jesus off to Egypt and hide him, then God knew that Jesus could die there. So was there a point when Jesus the man became God-like? Yes. And when was that point? When he met with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist took him to the Jordan. You follow that? And there he was what? For what? The removal of his sins. And what happened when the skies opened? An angel descended in the form of a dove, and heaven spoke and said, what? Behold, this is mine, in whom I am well. And it says, the Spirit lighted down on him in the form of a dove. And he was filled of the Spirit. Then he was God the Spirit and God the man. But then the power of God had moved out of heaven in a symbolic form of a dove and settled on him. Then death and destiny took a change. Prior to that, Jesus was as vulnerable to life and death as everybody else. Otherwise, there would have been no reason whatsoever to have him moved from Jerusalem and go all the way to India, because nobody could have touched him. If destiny says he will be crucified at a certain time and raised from the dead, no one would have been able to touch him. I don't care what they thought or what they wanted to do. No one can defy the power of God. Is that right? So if that had to be done, done in that manner, that was confession that Jesus wasn't always the God, but that Jesus was a man. And that's very important, y'all. You know why? Because when you get to the cross story, that same power of God must have left Jesus while on the cross. Now, you may not believe that, but Jesus himself did. So Jesus said, my God, what? What have thou? And you know what the word Sabachthani means in Hebrew? Left or departed from me. Sabachthani. My God, Eli, Eli. You know what Eli means? On high, Lema, why have you, Sabachthani, left me? He was now on the cross, a man again. Could suffer. And so he said, I thirst. And I was a sign that I'm thirsty. And the mocker said, well, if you be the Son of God, why don't you just come down off the cross? And that's the same type of temptation they gave him before. He was standing over the mountain. The devil said, well, if you be the Son of God, why don't you cast yourself down and God will catch you? And he said, well, get behind me, Satan. Because it's written, you shall serve the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you serve. You don't tempt God. So Jesus couldn't come down off the cross on the temptation of a mortal. Could he have stepped off the cross? Could he have jumped off the cliff? The end result is what's important. He didn't. You understand what I mean? The whole story is the infection of life. The devil is already inside the church, inside the mosque. It has crept in the hearts of people and spread their venom. And preachers and teachers who haven't taken the time to study the languages, to get into the etymology of it, the meaning of the word, who haven't traveled to the spot and saw them with their own eyes, where they want to have a big church and a big following and do a whole lot of youth and hollering, but don't have, they don't teach, they preach. I don't want to be a preacher. I want to be a teacher. And I don't want to be preachers. I want to be teachers. I want those teachers to be people that don't believe anything. They check it out. They question anybody. And I tell you, don't believe nothing I say. I'm a nut. I'm a lunatic. Especially if you ask the media here. That's because they're afraid of the truth. Because the truth and only the truth shall make you free. Not set you free. To make you get up off your butt and free yourself. You ain't gonna just lay into freedom. You're gonna use this truth, and this truth is gonna lift you above the mental slavery to keep you in the state of mind that you're worth it. So that's what the truth is doing. You with me? You know the question?
As a shriner, I was wondering in the lodges or in the temple, in the Quran, in El Fatiha.
El Fatiha, yes.
I want to know about the pronunciation of it and the meaning and the way it originally comes from.
Okay. Surah Al-Fatiha is used as the opening chapter. The very name, El Fatiha, means to open up. Like Jesus said, I open and no man shall see. But that's not the original name of the chapter. When the Muslims rewrote the Quran, they put that name there. The real name of the chapter is to be grateful and have gratitude. And it's pronounced Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmani Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ahdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. And that whole chapter is broken up into three basic principles. One is الحمد لله رب العالمين. That means to say all gratitude and thanks لله is for Allah, who is the source, the Rabbil Alameen, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. Alumma is what the word is. So they say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then we say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That means Rahama. The root of that word Rahama is from Arham, meaning the womb of a woman. But it's been translated to mean gracious and merciful. But it really says that we pass through by the grace of Allah, we pass through the woman. That's his grace and his mercy. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Who is he? Maliki Yawmiddin. Who? Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the Malik, the Ahlak, the ruler, the master, the sustainer, Maliki Yawmiddin, of the day when all men, women, and things will be judged. If all that, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Yeah, it's you alone we seek for our help. Adina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide us to this path. Put me on your path, God Almighty. And put me on that path and make it so straight and narrow that I can't get off of it. I'm a weak mortal. I can fall. Adina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Get me on the Mustaqim or make it so I'm like a robot in your way, God. You don't believe me. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. I don't want to be like those people who have gone astray. All those people who have brought your wrath on them. What a bawling, I mean. All those who dollar, who got off that path. I want to be on those people who stay there, to think and thin, to up and down, to right in the hearts, but stay on your path. I don't want to be in the path of a prophet. I don't want to be in the path of a seer or a mystic. I want to be on the path of God and God alone. And that's what makes this sound so weird. Because Muslims are on the path of Muhammad. When the quote says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm al-din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يقول آمين. آمين no means so be it. آمين comes out to mean you can trust what I just said. You can believe in me, God, I'm with you. The Father, so when shrine is open, the large temple with that quote, they're mocking something. If they don't understand it, Arabic language, it's wrong. They need people to come around and set the record straight. Because it ain't no joke. It's a heck of a commitment. And then they say, well, we don't really believe in Islam, but use names like Allah, Arab, and different words that shoveled around in Arabic in the shrine is taboo. And they bring a wrath upon themselves. A wrath of Allah.
Open up. Does time go forward or backward?
Time doesn't go anywhere. Time doesn't move. Motion and time is an illusion. Like this sister over here, who's actually over there, because I'm over here, when I get over there, she's still going to be right there. But now I'm over here, there is still over there, you know. The question is where? Because I need a point of origin for you to find out where there is once I leave there. So let me get back over there. Which is now here, and she's now there. Where are we? Here. To someone else, we're here. There. Time is a concoction on a wall. It doesn't go anyplace. It has no arms on it, moving around in circles. It gives you the impression that time is moving forward or backward. Tomorrow does never get here. But when tomorrow comes, you call it, and today will be, and the next day after that will be another yesterday, but it's all one big yesterday, all one big tomorrow, all one big today, and they all come out to be now. There is no such thing as time moving one direction or backwards. Please, remove that concept. And for those who think they understand astronomy and say, well, in actuality, does not the planet move around the sun? Oh, yes, it does. And for that small moment and that illusion, you can fool yourself into thinking you're going somewhere unless you step back away from this solar system and look at the sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, and then see it ain't going nowhere. You know, you're inside there moving around in circles. You ain't going nowhere, laying in your bed, your digestive system is working, but you ain't going nowhere. So they had to tell us that time is that way and that there's a past and that there is a future. And let me make this clear. That when, and this is the next question, that when John in the book of Revelation had a vision of the future, a prophecy, he saw it. Women, he saw it. He saw the vision. He witnessed the vision. He woke up crying the same way you do in a nightmare. He felt the vision. You know why? Because that's when it was happening. As he was imagining it, he imagined images. As he was getting images in his mind of the events of the prophecy of the book of Revelation back in the year 96, it was happening then. Or he couldn't have imagined it. And if he saw the animals and saw the beast rising out the water on the seventh, if he saw that as vivid, then it would have happened if in no other place in his head. And if it happened in his head, it happened. It may have not happened in your head, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Because it did happen somewhere in space and time, but in whose head? John. So there's no prophecy that's coming from the past forward. They're all here. You follow? You don't have to go seek your ancestors. Your ancestors are looking right at you. Your relatives will pass on, as you say, the nice word pass, because you get the impression that it went that way. They haven't gone nowhere. They're right here. They hear you. They're talking to you. They're communicating with you daily. You just have closed yourself off because of religious dogma. And say, I ain't going to communicate with my grandmother, because that would be sacrilegious. According to whose doctrine? According to whose doctrine? Because it's definitely not Jesus' doctrine. Because Moses and Elijah were Jesus' relatives, and they came to him and talked to him in the transfiguration period. So ain't nothing wrong with you talking to your ancestor or talking to your grandmother. See, somewhere on the line, someone came in and defined doctrine. They defined religion. They defined it for us, and they gave us their interpretation of it. You understand? Like I said in the beginning, I was trying to throw a thought in my mind that if God was in the beginning, right, then that wasn't the beginning. So if God said let there be light, then God was already there. So that was a beginning, not the beginning. In a beginning and the beginning. Every child born into the world is a beginning. But no child born into the world is the beginning. So if God was there to say let there be light, that was not the beginning. That was in the beginning. Not at the very beginning. Are you hearing me? That's what I was talking about.
I'm going to Revelation. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her jealousy. Who is this? Is this not the World Trade Building? Is this not the United Nations? Are people made rich by buying and selling here? If you don't believe me, ask what's his name? Saddam Hussein. America told the whole world, don't sell them nothing. What they call it? Sanctions. Satan, cut them off. Like Revelation chapter 13 says, whoever doesn't have the mark of the beast will not be able to work, buy, or sell no more in thee. So a man can stand up and tell people, starve that man to death. And everybody's afraid to sell him stuff because they will be cut off. That ain't a revelation manifesting in front of your eyes, ain't nothing. A man said, don't let him buy or sell no more because he doesn't want to wear the mark of the United Nations and fall under their law. Is that not happening? Am I making this up? Listen. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. People come over here from China in their clothes and in their tradition. They come from India, from Sudan, Egypt, London, Germany, Holland. Within a matter of years, they're out of their customs, out of their traditions, out of their food, out of their God, and out of their damn mind. The Bible, because they get seduced by the fornication of this vicious house. It strips people. Heck, you know, you see a bunch of Chinese people with blonde hair. A whole bunch of Negroes with perms. And I repeat, it's not permanent. So they should call it a temp. Because in 3 months, you got to do it again. If it was a perm, it would be there one time and there forever. So they remind you, it's not a permanent. If they tempt, you with me? And then you're extending it. I hope I ain't hurt nobody's feelings. But there's a way. Let me go on down. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. That's what's going on now in the country. Plagues, AIDS, herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, and diseases, they're not mentioning to you because you ain't ready for them yet. Food is dying. Hail in Georgia last month. Hail like this. Italy, landslides, mudslides, earthquakes. More tornadoes in 1 year than ever in the history of the world. Right or wrong? Right. Nature is shaking her shoulders at man. Look at these bugs. Locusts? Were we back in the book of Exodus somewhere? Death, the plague of death. People are dying. They said that AIDS is now called an epidemic in the black community. You hear me? Out of every 7 people of the whole United States, 3 of them to catch AIDS are black, between 14 and 44. Think about that. Is that not an epidemic? How do we stop it? Tell y'all to stop screwing. I got grown kids. Tell them to stop screwing like, okay, Bob. you did it with love. All the adults there know what I'm talking about. We come from a different day and time than you do. But we can see the plague. The food is going bad. The crops are not growing properly. That's long term. There's no 2 in the computer. They got to recalibrate the computers in the year 2000. going to shut down all kinds of things. And that billions and billions and billions of dollars are put up to reconfigurate the figures in the computer. And the country is banned by computers today. The world. Internet. A spider web on the back of the dollar bill. Yes, we are in the day of plague. People walking around with all kinds of rashes that you can't identify. The doctors can't identify them. Doctors seeing things in hospitals now they've never seen before. They look at it and say, whoo. Well, that's serious. When a doctor goes, whoo, you got a problem. Doctors are resigning. I had a brother talk to me yesterday. I saw him in a restaurant. He said, Paul, I'm thinking about becoming a barber. I said, you want to touch people? You want to touch people's heads with rashes and wingworms and all these diseases? You actually want to touch somebody's head? The art now is to avoid touching people. Be friendly. No kisses. No hugs. Speak. Be polite. Don't touch me. You understand the importance of that?
Yeah.
I'm afraid to get on a basketball court. It's frightening, man. You run a full court, you start sweating, niggas turning head and that spit go in your mouth. But it can't happen. Especially when they've got Jerry curls up there, it's all greasy. And that thing's about age, guess what? They'll say, no, it doesn't, age cannot be transmitted. Some of that, these people here find out how age can be transmitted, then they tell us. Now they're saying, well, certain mosquitoes don't die immediately after they sting people. Certain strands of mosquitoes that are moving to America from Africa. Why? Because the climate is changing. This is tropical. Look. This is tropical. There's going to be more insects. That means more diseases, more plagues. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But you were warned. You hear me? Dead. For her sins have reached unto heaven. And that will be Orion. Look it up in the Logos Bible or online, bring the word up and look it up. And God has remembered her iniquity. God. The sins of the world have gotten so bad that they are sin like the scent of incense burners, and God is remembering. Think about God is remembering her iniquity. I'll tell you. I don't want this. I want this to tell you. There's another time in here where God got to that point. What did he say? The evils of man was evil continuously. So I must destroy this man. This quote is saying the same thing. The evils have gotten to the point where they went to very Orion, and God remembered when man was this evil before. When Sodom and Gomorrah and Jethro, and that's what they call it, Jericho and Babylon and the wicked city were ruined. Well, that's why they refer to this as Babylon. Because they're taking you back to that point where they will have to destroy. And Babylon did not come after the Bible. The city of Babel existed before the Bible. Read the Bible. You find out that this book is based on Judaic culture, not Egyptian culture. The Egyptians had a culture, like I said earlier, when Abraham got there, they didn't start with their Adam, but they didn't even know, the Pharaoh didn't even know who Moses God was. He said, my God's name is I Am That I Am. He said, really? Well, which one is it? It came out by the time they got to the book of Revelation that the God that his life was talking about was the God Amun. Because Revelation 3:14 says, and you the actual Egyptian deity Amun. And every Christian at the end of every prayer, gives praise to Amun-Ra. They say, Amen. Every Muslim gives praise to Amun-Ra. He says, Amen. Amen. If you look it up, you find out that that is a Roman, Egyptian deity, Amun-Ra, the sun god. Want me to correlate the sun to Jesus for you? Or do you all remember those facts? Huh? Because you can match Jesus up with the sun? Exactly. The sun sets, Jesus dies. The sun raises, Jesus resurrects. Jesus walks the water, the sun's light walks the water. Jesus multiplies the bread, the sun causes horrors, horizons, horoscopes. Egyptian mystery, Horus, that's your Jesus. Also called in Babylon, or amongst the Sumerians, Amun. One and the same. People borrowing people's cultures and laying them over themselves the same way. The nation of Islam borrowed Islam and laid it over Christianity. And people really think they belong to a Muslim group. And if you study Arabic and read it, you'll find out that the 5% or the gods of the earth, they broke off from the nation of Islam through Clarence 13X, and now we have a fraction of a faction that will tell you they're right and be ready to fight about being right when they're wrong. Hello. You with me? Says, how much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I am a queen. The word queen means prostitute. Look it up. And am no widow and shall not be sorry. This people they're talking about have went to Vietnam and caused the Vietnamese problem. Went to Hiroshima and Nagasaki and caused those people problems. Went to Panama and caused them problems. Went to Grenada and caused them problems. Now they're in India and they're in Arabia and they're in Iraq. Where don't they go and cause sorrow and hardship? And then boast that nobody can take us down. Isn't that what she said? It's easy, and I'm going with it, it's easy to find out who this is calling the devil and a wicked people. And it says, come out of her. Be not partakers of her sin. Let me tell you how you do not partake of her sin. You don't identify with her God or her devil. If you identify with their God, you must identify with their devil. If you believe in their God, you must believe in their concept of a devil. Now, if you say I'm a Christian, you with me? If you say that I'm a Christian, right, what do Christians believe about the devil? Before you start, according to Christianity in the Bible, where did the devil come from? Huh?
Heaven.
He fell from heaven. Who created the devil? The next question would be why? So religion leaves you at that point where it does not make sense. Why would you create a being that's going to cause all of this that's going on in the world? They can't answer it. I say again, once you accept their concept of God, then you must accept their concept of the devil. Muslims have the same foolish belief, and so do Jews. You got to give them back all of their concepts and set the concept of belief and fact on what you have experienced. Now, if you have never seen a flying saucer, don't believe anybody who says they have, including me, until you have the experience. Now, you say, well, Papa, I love you. I want to trust you. Thank you. Don't bet on it. Only on the things I confirm for you. next thing you say is going to happen. Fine. That's your own conviction. I am not going to tell you to believe in flying saucers if you haven't seen. Who here has seen a flying saucer with their own eyes? See, some of us have. Some of y'all haven't. So we sound crazy to you. And you sound crazy to us for not believing it with all of the stacks of evidence that the government shows you on television. They call it classified. The government created a whole called Project Blue Book and put $1 billion in it. There's a whole Goon Air Force base that nobody can go into. Well, they're over there testing they're going to test something already used on the people in Iraq. What are they doing with it now? Oh, the Roswell, that was just some dummies in a weather balloon. And it goes on and on. And millions of people all over the world are being abducted. And they all are saying the exact same thing and describing the exact same people, whether it's in Hindi or Arabic or Spanish or French or Italian or German, whatever language they're speaking, they say the same thing. They say little men. I think they're men, but they have no apparent sexual organs. With big heads, some grayish or brownish in complexion, with large eyes and little slits. Some have five fingers, some have four. Some had three, some had like claws, which means there's some type of mutation or evolution or graftation or genetic experiment going on amongst them also. But millions of people all over the world, not just crazy people, scientists, doctors, reverends, policemen, what else? Military presidents, Carter, our Georgia boy, confirmed he saw a UFO. And so did Reagan, and so did Kennedy, and so did Truman, and so did your boy Elvis Presley, and so did Jimi Hendrix, and so did Marvin Gaye. There's a whole book of all the stars that saw them. You listen to their music and cry with them and make love to them, but when they say, I believe in the UFO, oh, he's crazy there. Marvin Gaye said, what's going on? Save the children. I love that. I didn't even know the boy crazy. What are the chances of people all over the world speaking a different language who've never come in contact with each other having the same experience? What are the chances? All these people got together and conspired? Why is the question? Why? What would be the reason? Why would a guy in Germany and a guy in Mexico have the exact same story, the exact same story? What? How? In Puerto Rico, Chupacabra. How? And all these people in Puerto Rico is crazy, right? Farmers, villages who have no interest in the public or the media, say, yeah, I saw one run by. A bloodsucker, they call it. But y'all who haven't had the experience, look it up, call us crazy. We wonder why you haven't had the experience. Let me see them hands again. The ones who have had the experience, some type of UFO or phenomenon. I'm saying, you know, quite a few of us have. And fighting it. But when I was a little kid, and my sister's fighting here right now somewhere, she'll tell you, when I was a little kid, I could disappear for weeks. That's what's in my back there. Is that true? What did y'all used to do? Tell us too. Give her a mic to speak to her. Let's beat the hell out of her. Hold the head. She's going to have to be with me. What would y'all do?
When you came back, give me a second.
A second, they
call it. Okay, when you disappear, we should take, you know what happens to it. When we come back, we have like heavy nosebleed and stuff like that. And he was, as a kid then, saying that he was affected. And we was like, yeah, right. And he was this is true, believe me. And he was a little kid not knowing anything about this. There was no TV, no media about abductions and stuff like that. And this is what.
Don't tell him that. That's talking about how old I am. It's real. And those of us who've had the real experiences and suffered the traumas of it all our lives, it ain't no joke about it. Y'all people held judges if I wish somebody would abduct me. They do two things. They abduct and they abduct it. these women and they took me on a ship and they saw that I was so attractive that they wanted to have my baby, so they did it to me. Right? Then there's other people say they took me up there, they experimented on me, they were sticking tubes in my head and stuff, and then I don't know what happened after that. Other people say they sat down and told me I'm special. And they're going to take me off to heaven with them. What are some of the other ones? Anybody got any of them?
Yeah.
They will tell your world that they messed them up. They said to inform the world that you human beings are messing up and you better turn around and change things before it's too late. Right?
Yep.
What else? Anybody
else? They come back with metallic oxygen.
Yeah, but yeah,
people come back with metallic like objects all over their
I have one of those over here. Right. That's where the blood
future.
Came from. Huh?
Showing signs of the future.
They sometimes project a screen for you to see, like they do me, and I can foresee things going to come in hundreds of years. And I come tell y'all, and then they come back. And then y'all still say, it's gracious. Who else? You know how many of them are walking on the planet Earth as human beings? Passing themselves off as human, mixing into the society of man. Not only good ones. They want to use humans for food, some of them. Don't feel bad. Chickens feel that way about you. You just another part of the chain of life. You sit down and eat a curry goat. I think goats feel. You got them locked in your yard inside a gate. Raise them to kill them, to cut them, to eat them. And then when a couple of y'all get abducted and to make the judges put you somewhere and raise y'all to cut you, to eat you, maybe they don't curry you or barbecue. They might got some other term they use. You feel like, that ain't right. Almost anybody on television says the same thing. It ain't right. You just can't do that to people. Isn't that what they said? That's not right. They just came in my bedroom and took me out and just did things to me. Some people liked it. Some people hated it. Everyone waits for the exorcism late night. But it is happening. And then don't let...
What does it mean when you wake up and you have scratches all over your body?
Could mean you have a cat, this man. I'm just starting from the bottom.
Okay.
You got to start from the root. A truth, but I don't know, really. So it could be a cat that's mad at you, right?
I got no cat.
All right. It could be entities that are messing with you. They do have disembodied beings that do have the power to affect things on this side. And they attack people, shove people downstairs, scratch people up. There are a lot of dead people that did not make it to the other side. And they're roaming. People down Georgia here that were hung. Grabbed out their houses. Some of our grandfathers, I have folks in Wilkins. That was some of you young people too young. Anybody here over 35 or 40 that's from the South knows what I'm talking about. Where crackers came and grabbed them out their houses at night and hung, castrated, burned their relatives right in front of everybody in the family. And nobody could do nothing.
The trauma of that kind of death makes it impossible for the spirit to get to the other side. It can't make a smooth transition. They become in-embodied souls trapped on this side. And they terrorize. You know when they dug up Mega Evans' body? Remember his wife had it dug up?
Yeah.
It was totally preserved. As if it never had been embalmed. Did y'all know that? Don't trust me. You know me. Don't believe me. Go check that out. You'd be amazed. When they dug up his body after that many years, his body was perfectly preserved. Will. He did not want to perish until the case stopped.
Yes.
And they exhumed his body and they solved the case. You understand? Yeah, I bet you his body will start to wither now. That's the power of God in you.
Yeah.
Not of God, you as God can make that happen. Can you imagine that? Every Pharaoh would say knew his secret. A hell of a lot. Anybody else
want to
talk about it? Yes.
Brother Ben, I have a question. What is more like advice? But 3 weeks ago, I was experienced a ringing in my ear. I get them frequently, but this one was, like, intense. And now I can't hear, or it's like pressure is in my left ear. I was wondering, has anyone come to you?
All the time. All the time. And especially around this part of the year. Because of the pollen. See, there's a lot of pollen in the air, more so than ever, because there's a cloud mass that's keeping the pollen in. Because of the weather we had, and all the plants are overdeveloped. So a lot of people are pouring into the hospitals with sinus problems, colds like you wouldn't breathe, headaches, migraines, ringing in their head, and it's because of the pollen. I'm not saying that's your case, but you ask me, have I heard of any? And when I do, I say, yes, I go take some contracts and the ringing to go away. And it's okay. And they go take the contracts and they tell me, oh, the ringing went away. Yours might be something different. I don't know.
I'm thinking it may go.
You have a hole in your ear?
Yes.
Hole for them or what?
One on the right.
On the right ear? Okay, go ahead.
It's like I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid.
I don't want to go to the doctor.
Don't be afraid. The doctor can't tell you nothing. That ring in your ear is alignment. People with holes in their ear over here, some have one, some have two. Those are people that are going, I'm trying to think of another word for it. I can't think of anything else other than the word counselor. When the elders come, when God comes, right, and the voice of God is spoken, it's going to be in sound, not in language. And these people who are being aligned are going to be the ones to tell people where to go. Those are chosen people, and they will be said, they'll hear voices in their head. Now, some people hear voices in their head now and end up in the nut house. But the reality of that is that it's a fact that people can hear voices in their head. You understand my point? The fact that doctors will put people in the hospital and put them on certain types of medication because doctors have come to the conclusion that, yes, certain people do hear voices in their head. Wait, Bun?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And have went out and killed people because the voices said, go kill somebody. Say it again? And they'll blame it on Tupac. There you go. Remember that one, right? You know, this is the reality. Go ahead.
And they camouflage into human beings. Right?
They're fevers. No, no. They're beings that are descending to earth. Extraterrestrials, disagreeables. Right? In the form of human beings. Not descending into human beings. They won't come into and take her body. They're not walking. They are acting people that are here on earth like heads of record companies, heads of the movie, controlling the lives of many people. I'm not going to say Michael Jackson, but everybody wants me to say Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is a confused nigga. I ain't talking about, but there are people that are in power like Bill Gates, right, who's controlling. When he held back, how many people in the computer? The other day when he held back Windows 90, what? Everybody went, what? You was like affected emotionally. How dare them hold back Windows 98? I need that. What? Didn't you have an emotional effect? You was like waiting to go to the store. Car, got the gas, key. We're going out to the video store and get this 98. And I would have been the rest of your day putting it in, storing it, and they held it back. So wait a minute. We're not sure we're going to release it. That's long enough to frustrate everybody. Then Bill Gates, okay, it's going out. What's the point? Control. Mind control. Yes.
Yeah. All right. What I was trying to lead to was just suppose that you can see these beings that are camouflaging themselves. What is happening to you?
They're not camouflaging themselves, Sandra. They're walking around every day with you. I can point out some of them. The guy comes on stuff all the time. He teaches all the stars about how to make money and all that. Oh, my God, you can see he's a binary. He's about almost 7 feet tall. Oh, he's at the whole lot of the TV. So many of them out there now, and they are controlling the lives. L. Ron Hubbard. Dianetics, these are organizations. The Scientology movement, these are groups of extraterrestrials from the Pleiadians or Aldebarian or Astral Command that's incarnated here and are staring people down a certain direction, and they become extremely numb. Yes,
brother. Oh, I have another related question.
Okay.
All right. I'm pretty sure you know about the Book of Barnabas.
I sure do. Barnabas. Where it said Barnabas? Barnabas.
Barnabas.
So they tricked that to a purpose. So you don't understand Bar and Nabus what it means. But
my question is, which son is actually the seed of the blessed child is? Is it Isaac or is it Ishmael? I mean,
okay. Isaac is the rightful heir. That's according to the Tanakh or the Torah and the Talmud writings of the so-called Jew. Isaac. Ishmael is not the rightful heir. Only further down in history did they say in about the sons of Ishmael that they will be a mighty nation, 12 princes, and the tribe of Kedar shall breed a great nation. Kedar, which is the second son of Ishmael, gave birth to Muhammad 1,400 years ago in Arabia and took the Arabs out of a backwards state, if you ever read up on Islam, the state they were in, and civilized them only for them to be invaded by Turkish and them, take over Islam, and turn it back to the barbaric terrorist religion it is today. That was Isaac is the rightful son. And Ishmael was later as a wild ass of a man because, remember, Ishmael was the son of Hagar, and Hagar was the daughter of the Pharaoh. That was a special gift. So they knew that the seed of Ishmael would come out of her and set up and mix in with the seed of Midian. And Midian's seed came from Abraham's third wife, Keturah, and she had six sons. And that's where Moses went to Midian to get taught by them before he went to Egypt. So he got taught by an Ishmaelite about Eliel, who later on became known as Yahweh, good and evil. And all that was done through the Ishmaelite seed, but the covenant was made with Ishmael. I mean with Isaac to Israel Jacob, according to the Bible. Muslims can say anything they want 1,400 years, but thousands of years after I write the book, what would Muslims have said if the Bible wasn't there and they weren't trying to establish a new religion? You follow what I'm trying to say? That, in fact, I graduated from the University of Al-Azhar in Egypt, specializing in Islamic studies and Semitic languages. So Arabic is one of my languages. So in reading the studies and doing the research in Arabic, you find out the Muslims in America don't know what they're talking about. And I taught Muslims Arabic for 25 years. And they still don't know what they're talking about.
Hey, is there such thing as the Shabbat day?
Yes, there is a such thing as Shabbat. Again, Shabbat is a Hebrew practice that Muslims took in and pushed it to Friday and called it Yom Jumah. The word Yom Jumah really simply means Yom Day El Jumah, together. But Shabbat Yom is also in Hebrew a day of gathering. So the Muslims set it up on Friday at 1 o'clock, and they go to the masjid, and they have an imam give a khutbah, a lecture, community affairs, pay zakat, and go home. That's a Christian practice. Come to church, hear a sermon from a pulpit, pay your tithings, and go home. Not even Islamic or Hebraic culture. Whereas the Jews, 19 minutes before sunset on Friday night, they enter into a state of Shabbat, which means desisting, not resting, desisting from activity to give all due to the Most High for the blessings that He gives you. And then 19 minutes before sunset on Saturday, they break the Shabbat and light a candle and break the bread and drink the wine, which is supposed to be, that's where Christians got, Jesus said, the wine is my blood and the blood is my flesh. Yes, there is a Shabbat, and we are supposed to keep the Shabbat. You follow? Because it goes back all the way to Genesis, way before Abraham or Moses ever even had a book. So it's recognized as a Judaic practice, but it goes back to the Sumerians. And that goes back to when Cain and Abel was asked by the Anunnaki to prepare a meal to test which way their natures have gone, because they were a product of cloning of agreeable Kutite and disagreeable Kutite and agreeable Havilite. When they mixed these to see the car with a perfect person, they were testing them to see with effort. So they told both sons, go prepare a feast for the gods. And one son threw it together like a chicken pot pie wife, and another one baked the bread from the ground, from the. So the man looked at the woman who baked the bread from the, and said, that woman puts love and care into, I accept that woman. But the woman that goes in the closet and takes the fridge and takes out a frozen dinner and pops it in a box, the man goes like this. That's what the Cain and Abel story is about. And that goes all the way back to that day that Cain was rejected or not respected and Abel accepted was the day of rest because of Cain killing Abel. The gods grieved because they considered it their responsibility. And don't let nobody say the gods don't grieve because Jesus cried at the tomb of Lazarus. They'll say, you mean, you always have an answer for them. When you say, like, the gods grieve, the gods don't grieve, then why would Jesus crying? And why did God say, regret me that I created man? That was another regret. Because they felt when it came to Cain, before he killed Abel and so Cain, all you got to do is go back in the kitchen and put your best in it. But if you don't, evil is lying at the door waiting for you. In other words, you're going to get madder and madder. It says right in the Bible, but his consonants dropped. You know what that means? He started smoking like we niggas do when we get mad. And when we start smoking, when our consonants drop, we lose control. We find ourselves doing some things that we never thought we would do, and we regret forever. That's what that story is really talking about. All right?
Michael,
go ahead.
Jealous God. I've seen that in
Say it again.
Jealousy.
Right here.
Jealousy. A jealous God.
Blessed is the such thing as a jealous God. When God says, worship me and me alone, what is he saying? First of all, he's confessing that there must be other gods his equal. See, in Islam, they make the statement, and they say Allah is the most merciful. And the question should be out of what? Because if you're the only God, and the only God with that kind of power, then you should have no fear of rivalry. If I was the only cowboy, I don't have to worry about there being no other cowboys. But if there's other cowboys, and I want your full attention, I say have no other cowboy, because if you do, I'm jealous. Because I'm the cowboy that gave you your cowboy suit. I made you my image after my likeness, so don't go off to no other God. That confession in the Bible tells you there's other gods. That God is worried about them.
Yes.
That God, and I'm jealous, don't worship nobody but me. How can God get jealous of another being? Unless there are other beings equal to them. Muslims say all the time, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. They said, I bear witness what? There's only one God. Him alone shall you worship. Right? La ilaha illallah. There's no God but Allah, as they say. Why would I have to keep saying that? I worship Allah alone. I worship Allah alone. There's no God but you. There's no God. You are Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Worship Master. To them, Allah is the greatest. To them. The greatest out of what? How could God be the greatest of anything? How can he be compared to anything? Or, you know what I'm saying? Their very own doctrine is a confession of their own failures and weaknesses. The almighty, powerful, loving being that permeates through all of us has no fear of nothing. Cannot be challenged, cannot be altered, cannot be added to, and cannot be taken away from. That's why we here in the Wafians refer to him as, or I shouldn't even say him, refer to him as the all. The all. And the all is defined as relating to this side, our physical. It will be just all when we shed the physical and we live in an etheric or spiritual state. But as long as we're in the physical, where things must be defined by some for weight, then we become definite articles. God, the God. And that's why when you ask the Muslims to translate the word Allah, they say El Ilah, the God. You see, that's a definite article, a noun. A noun is a person. So how can he be the God? A noun, and then be a lady in Arabic, unseen. Anything that is a person, place, or thing can be seen. So the Quran, the next verse says, to believe in the lady, the unseen thing. Something. Nothing. You see that?
Right.
Something. Density. Weight. Content. The sum. They spell it S-O-M-E when they want to spell it S-U-M-T-H-I-N-G. Something. Anything that is something has weight. You follow that? Anything that exists without weight is nothing. No thing. No is abbreviated N-O as number. Without weight or content, before hydrogen. So the divine exists in a world of nothingness. And we exist in a world of something. And then something. And God is the something. And we are the some. And that's why we're called beings. And he's called the supreme being. You follow? And that is all on the physical side of things. But to get to the bosom, you must get past the physical world and into the etheric world, which is nothing. No weight. No density. No space. And if they say that's impossible, then tell me how love makes people kill each other. You can't weigh love. Right? But you can feel love, and a broken heart can kill a man. Give a man a cardiac arrest. His heart will cease to function because a woman leaves him, or vice versa. They call, they'll say, he died of a cracked, broken heart. Where the untangible becomes tangible. It affects the tangible.
When it comes to investing, it's about what's working for you, your children, and their future. At J.P. Morgan, we'll bring a dedicated advisor and a personalized strategy to get you where you want to go. Planning, investing, advice. J.P. Morgan Wealth Management.
Good evening. We are coming to you from the Egyptian Church of Christ Incorporated. This program is for one group of people and one group only, the children of God. You no longer have to wander or wander off the straight path. For those who want to make a difference, for those that want to know the truth to so many unanswered questions, and for those who are tired of the devil taking control over everything in their lives and the lives of their children, this program is set up for those who want to bring God's kingdom to earth. According to the scriptures, Matthew 6:32, that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness should be added to you. Therefore, we must take back control of our lives. We, as the Egyptian Church of Kadesh Christ Incorporated, are reaching out to embrace all the children of God. As it states in Psalms 86, I have said, ye are God, and all of you are the children. Next, you will be listening to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Malachi of New York, on questions and answers.
Every day we take the bits of the body parts and bits and pieces. Is it a physical action that someone removes bits and pieces from and one of the other sticks and then gives it to who? Any referring to the same question, please?
Rahul, I know what you're trying to say. She says it was them. The average person in here doesn't have seven clones. But let's say there are five men that control the Bilderberger Society. Bilderberger Society, five men rule the world. Or Ram Corporation. Each one of them have a clone. And each one of them had that clone produce copies of themselves for body parts. They have special doctors that are responsible for keeping them together. Let's say he has face cancer. Have you noticed, at one point, his whole face was swelling up and eating away. If anybody knows something about terminal cancer, they would not be able to just pull it away and patch him up like that. It doesn't work like that. Once it starts to eat the cells away, that's it. You have a very limited amount of time when it becomes that apparent. Now if you look at it, all of a sudden, this whole big mass is gone. Or had this big growth on his nose of cancer. And all of a sudden, you know, he disappears for a little while, goes away, goes in the jaw, comes back to, and it's not there. He no longer has a nose problem. So they have ways now. What they're doing is they have cell tips they work with. And they have a problem with making it public in America because they have to go into the fetus and take cells in the fetus that can rebuild cells. What I'm saying now sounds crazy, but if you go in the computer, you can investigate cell tips, they call them. And it rebuilds cells. So if you have, MS or some kind of brain damage, now they have a means by which they can take out of a baby's fetus cells, inject them into your brain cells, it'll cling on and begin to reproduce fresh blood cells, actually regrow cells. But the conflict is every time they do that, they have to eliminate a baby. They have to kill a baby. So now they're trying to take control of Africa and other countries where they don't mind eliminating babies in order to sustain their life. Ugly is a sad truth, but it's the truth. So like say the Anunnaki and beings of that caliber had clones. The ancient Egyptians had clones. The so-called pharaohs had clones made themselves so that in the event that during their life they suffered from some type of terminal disease, the alchemists could immediately replace that. There was no fear of rejection because they replaced it in, you know, 6 to 8 weeks determines whether or not your blood is going to reject it. There was no fear of that. And that's what it means when they say they, they're talking about those physicians. And in in the time of Zulza, the physicians would be under Amenhotep. That was his high priest. And beneath in the time of Tutankhamun, it would be I. The high priest would be I. He had a bunch of men under him, which were called the royal guard of Amun-Ra. And they were high priests. They used to sometimes see them depicted in artwork with an Ephraim on, a single white robe, bald head, no hair. They shaved all of the body. Anything was bacteria attractive, they didn't have any more pure white robes. All the time, they always show them in any book you read on Egyptian, they show you these men, they call them wabs, or priests in ancient Egypt. Well, these men knew the sciences, they were like scientists. They knew about the embalming, they knew about cloning, they knew about alchemy, altering molecules. They just were learning. They got their knowledge from beings who came from beyond the stars here, which sounds crazy in America until when we speak of beings coming from beyond the stars, it sounds like it's crazy until you talk to a Christian in America and you say, where did Jesus come from? And they go, huh? Yeah, well, where did Jesus come from? According to your Bible, Jesus said, I am from above, you are from beneath. Jesus said, I come down from the Father. As long as you're talking UFOs and you keep it in that terminology of UFOs, it sounds crazy. But when you turn around and just say, let's get for real, where did Jesus come from? They'll say, before he came to earth, he had to have been someplace. If you say he came, they'll say, well, Jesus came from heaven. The next question is, where is heaven? The definition of heaven, of course, them is up there. Up there where? Up there somewhere. Okay, good. Again, you don't know exactly where he came, but you do know he came from up there. Then you are admitting that he came to this earth from some other place where he lived. Did he have a seat beside his father there? They'll say, well, according to the Bible, of course, Jesus sat on the right side of his father while up there. So there's seats there. Were the angels there, the heavenly hosts? According to the Bible, there were heavenly hosts there. And these heavenly hosts, were they nude or did they wear robes? Or when Jesus appears in visions or when the Blessed Mother Mary appears in visions, they're always a garb in white robes, etc. So they have robes there. Yes, when you read the holy books, it speaks about paradise and the fruits of paradise and the pure water of paradise and the gifts that we're going to get when we get to heaven, which are very similar to the things we already have here on earth, but they're appropriate tonsless. But slowly but surely, they're being confronted with a reality that there's a place somewhere there where they go, a specific place. And in that place, there's seats and people talk. Because, in fact, in Genesis chapter 3, God is walking in the garden talking. Well, either God was talking to himself when Adam and Eve heard them, but it says they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So he was actually moving about. So what was he doing? Talking to somebody, a group of people, because they heard him. But you wouldn't hear him if there was no concrete, he didn't have no lips on his shoes. You wouldn't hear him. They were walking around the sandals on sand. You won't hear nobody walking on sand in the cool of the day. So they must be having a conversation. Who was God talking to? Other beings that are on his equal or beneath him or above him. They have to be in one of those places. They have to be either higher than him, equal to him, or beneath him. But whatever it is, there's other people there. If there's a seat on the right side, the only reason why you would mention having a seat on the right side is because there must be a seat on the left side. So if Jesus is sitting on the right side because he's good, then on the left side sits Satan. But Satan can't be there no more because Revelation 12 says Satan was thrown out of heaven and can't come back no more. So there's an empty seat on the left side. But as you add these ridiculous little things together that sound like mumbo jumbo, they come down to a reality that there is a place where Jesus came from. And there's a place that Jesus wants us to go to. And he says, where I am, you may be also. But the point is, if he says that where I am, you may be also, if we go and look at that literally, he's saying, I am somewhere and you're over there. And I want you here. And to find out where that, we simply go to the Lord's Prayer. Where is that here? Well, Jesus said, I want you to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. So now he's separating himself from earth beings and saying there is a heaven and our Father is there. If all we have to do that, if we take it from the religious and just blindly go by faith and say, well, you know, I'm not going to address these final points, then we're not worthy to be there. Simply because it says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So we're supposed to know these things. Otherwise, God would have never put them in the Bible. He didn't want us to find them. He never gave us the intelligence to find it. He wouldn't give the heathen the intelligence to rage because God controls all the intellect in the boundless universe. So if someone speaks against God, God allowed him to do it for a specific reason. He wants that question raised. He wants that doubt in Thomas to exist because by doubt in Thomas, he can confirm the truth. If there's no doubt in Thomas, how do I get to the truth if I don't have somebody saying, well, I know God personally? And then there's some guy in the congregation says, you don't know God. God arranged both of those situations. The kook who says, I know God personally, and the guy that says, you don't know God. He says, yes, I know God. Well, where is God? Oh, God's in heaven. He talks to my heart. Okay, now the situation changed. God talks to your heart. God talks to everybody. I thought you meant that you knew him personally, like I know this guy, and he talks to me like me and him sitting in the bar having a beer. That's a big difference. It's left like that. So when he's making reference to they, he's speaking of a place where beings are. And those beings walk and talk with God. And they're called the heavenly hosts. In fact, one man in the Bible called Enoch was so good that God didn't even let him die. It says in the Bible, God translated him and took him to himself and took him to himself. And Enoch didn't even die a mortal death.
So now, Enoch in the Bible didn't die a mortal death, then he was still in a physical form. And if God took him and translated him out of this planet somewhere, he went there in what? A physical form. If Elijah in the Bible, teacher of Elias, took a chariot to the heavens physically, they saw him go up into the sky physically, then what? There must be some place up there where people meet physically. If Jesus ascended before the disciples physically, and they watched him, as they say in the Bible, go through the clouds. Correct? That's what it says in the Bible. You can change the Bible and make it suit your religious belief, but if you want to stay literal, it says Jesus went up through the clouds, and the disciples watched him disappear into the clouds. He was in physical form. This was not from the cross. What they call it, when he saw the spirits of Elijah, and he saw the spirits of Moses, and he had that transfiguration, as they call it. To transform one figure to another. They said he was illuminated, but he was still physical. Because in order for you to be illuminated, you must have some physical. You can't light a light bulb without a filament. You need that filament inside there to get the light. Now, when the light comes out the bulb, it appears to be something intangible. But if you trace the light back, it cuts back to that bulb, cuts back to that filament, cuts back to those wires, cuts into that force, cuts into that electricity, which is physical. So there are beings there. We have got to come into that reality that there are beings with God. Whether we want to call them angels or by whatever term that makes us feel good, if you want to call them extraterrestrials, if you like the color green and you call them little green men, that's your prerogative. That's your individual choice, as long as you do acknowledge that there are beings with God. Now, in Africa, they may choose to acknowledge all of these beings and give them all separate names. And then we, as Christians, may look at them and say, that's paganism. And then they'll say, well, what about the saints? Or we'll say, well, that's different. But there was a difference. You got God the Father. We say, that's right, Heavenly Father. And Jesus, the Son of God, we say, that's right. And the Blessed Mother Mary, they go, that's right. They say, and the Holy Ghost, we go, that's right. They say, well, that's four. They say, no, that's one. That's three in one, that's Trinity. They'll say, no, you may say it's three in one because that's what you want to be, but when we in Africa break our gods all up into a whole bunch of gods, and then we say all of them are one. So if you go talk to an ancient Egyptian, he'll say all the gods come into one God, Atum. Right? And you say, well, there's Amun-Ra and there's Bethlehem. They'll say, yeah, but all of them are qualities of the one God. If you talk to a Muslim, you'll say, Allah is one. They say, well, he has 99 names. They say, yeah, well, all these are attributes or qualities of this one God. You see where the trick is coming in? Once we get into the reality that we are at the third level of manifestation, that there's a higher level of beings, and then between us and those higher level beings, there's angelic beings. And then it comes down to us who are physical and angelic beings. So when beings came to it, this world, they had to be assured that their mission would be completed. So they had people that said, we're going to keep his body intact while he does this mission. So they made duplicates of him. And it sounds crazy today, but if I told you about a television on your wrist 10 years ago, you would have laughed. If I would have told you it was putting frozen food inside of a little box of electricity and pushing mint buttons, and in 3 minutes you have a meal, I would have told you that 45 years ago, you would have thought I was crazy. If I would tell you there was going to be cloning people, you would have thought that was insane. All those things that appeared to be insane yesterday are realities now. Bringing people back to life. You know, people who died in the hospital, the doctors come in, there's no blood circulation, there's no pulse, the person is legally dead, the doctors walk out the room, pull the sheet over the patient's face. You mean they're making a death report, come back in, the person is sitting up.
Making Dad's famous turkey? It's gonna be great.
The doctor said, near my butt, you were dead. But how do they present that to the medical society where there is no rules in the books for people who die and come back? Simply because this society haven't got that far as to mesh medical and religion. because they won't marry the two. They don't leave room for those things, so they'll say, well, maybe they were dead. The person said, well, let me tell you something. I was floating around the room and tell people what they saw them doing during the period that they were laying there supposedly dead. They got to do what, well, we can't explain that right now, but we're sure in time we'll have an explanation. Well, of course. In time, they had televisions. I was living when there was no televisions. There was no thing about human beings walking around on a screen. My mother sitting right here, she was living when Jesus was living. It's always good to have a parent around because it makes you feel young. Even if you're old. Some of us folk in here were living when things didn't exist that you take for granted. Like the children today, the reason why the children are crazy, because they have what's referred to as an instant replay life. You know what that means? Years ago, if we wanted to watch Joe Louis and them box, we all stoop down in front of a radio, and everybody listening while a man narrated. We didn't see them on television, let alone miss them and program a machine to catch the fight while I'm out somewhere else. I come back in and go pimp and watch the fight. Was that possible when you were a kid? No way. You want to know what's wrong with the children today? The children today have this concept that life can be stored and picked up later. So when you're talking to them, say, listen, you got to get your life together. Now they're going to come. He said, whatever you're going to do with your life, now you better start doing now. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, nigga, I'm talking straight up, nigga. You better start studying right now. So you got to get a couple of dollars to go to the party. Tomorrow's Monday, nigga. You got to go to school. Mm-hmm. They know that they can get videotapes or what do they call it when kids can't read this thing now? Hooked on phonics. The only hook on phonics we got was our grandparents hooking us upside the damn head if we didn't study. Wasn't about going out to the movies on Saturday until your room was clean. These kids got everything on instant replay. And until we destroy that system, we'll never be able to change the children. So I'm saying the things that appear to be abnormal today are going to be every day. I mean, talking to dead people is going to be as simple as knowing your relative's telephone number to the other side. You say, well, Uncle so-and-so died 3 or 4 months ago. He was a hell of a carpenter. I'm trying to build this project. I don't know what to do. And you say, well, his father, said, well, my brother, oh, shit, his number is, you know, let's be good, 777-777. You get on the phone and say, 777, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. How you feel? How do I feel? I'm dead, huh? How you feel? How you feel? You're the one with all the aches and pains. So that might be a sense of humor from the other side. It ain't funny to us. You know what the truth is. You with me? How do you know that that's not going to be as normal as turning on a TV? How do we know that? Because a stealth plane, a hover jet, on television last week, they're showing a plane that goes up like this. Boom. And takes off, right? Before, all we know was thrust was it like, figure out a way to throw the plane. Now it goes up in the air and goes, boom. The United States is saying, tag, if we'd have had these back in the First World War, you know, we could have ended their butts. And system and time says, but you didn't. But don't doubt the possibility of talking to spirits on the telephone. Don't doubt anything when you live in this day and time and you see the technology that exists today. You understand? I was just driving along with a young fella and he got this detector for radar. I don't have one in my car, you know. I didn't think about it. I was like, what's that thing? It's going to what's that? He said, you know, see the box over there? He said, yeah, one box says somebody else got one. Somebody got one what? When he said, yeah. He's telling you that somebody's coming with one? Said, yeah. Then another dude, I said, what's that? He said, someone's activating a microwave oven. I'm like, we sitting in a vehicle driving along 127 and somebody's cooking their food in their house and we're seeing it in the car. You mean tell me them frequencies are in the air like that? Because of microwaves? Oh yeah, this air, if it fills up, that means the police is near. The whole screen fills up, that means the police is near. So I can watch the police. I can see it. All I know, I didn't know this, you know. I'm talking, this is today. All you guys are like, you didn't know? No, I just don't know. Like, I can be, all the time I've been getting chased by these cops, I can have one of them and you never had one. Y'all young folks take for granted sometimes. We old folks miss stuff. Because we don't even know. Unless you come and tell your pops, yo, pop, guess what's new? Your mom, I'm sitting in my room watching black and white television. You know? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I let alone 3D TV.
things they got out now with 3D man, they got movies on the internet where you don't even have to go to the cinema any longer. Don't doubt anything, because that's a tactic of the devil to make you unprepared for God's power by making you think that it must be within the power of man to be real. And if God's power surpasses man, God can make things happen and does, but there'd be no inventions or no creations or nothing if God didn't put the thought in the minds of people. So Einstein was dumb as heck. Now, you know why I say that? Because as smart as he appeared to be, he smoked. But when he was smoking, they hadn't gotten to the point yet where they realized how much cancer damage he was doing to himself. But every time they show you Einstein, who's supposed to be such a genius, he's got a pipe in his mouth. He's, I'm saying, this guy invented the atomic bomb, you know, altering molecules, and he didn't figure out that he was killing himself with cancer. See, they plan a plan, and God plans a plan, and God's the best to plan this. God, how intelligent he appeared to be, he was stupid when it comes down to something that simple. That we, or they, sister that you was asking about, is pertaining to beings that protected. Today they got them too. But we don't have it. We don't have that privilege or that luxury. I mean, you get hit by a truck out there, you know, that's hit by a bus. But those rich folks up there, they got body parts. They got to force themselves to die. People just live on and on. They got some people like Bob Hope. Bob Hope is older than Santa Claus. I hate to talk about our own late President Carter. Carter's jumping out of planes at 80. Anybody who jumps out of a plane knows your body is not equipped to jump out of no plane at 80. You can't even jump off the toilet at 80. So he must have conditioning.
What I was going to ask is, do these bodies that they've got, are they in stasis or are they living and then they just pick them up off the street or something?
I like to say they bring them over speed. That sounds like a movie. I like to work with that. No, once they clone these bodies and they speed up their cell growth, they put them in a suspended animation. They have what's called cryogenics. Right? Now, the thing wrong with cryogenics is the brain cannot be reactivated. It turns to mush once it's frozen. But they've proven that most other organs in the body can be revitalized. But the brain, once you lose that brain contact, which is that oversoul you're talking about, so they're not concerned. So if a president has brain damage like Kennedy, when they shot him, he still lived, you know, in Nassau Island for a long time, but he was in a wheelchair and he was brain dead. So they really couldn't bring him back to the forefront of politics. So he just lived his life out there in Greece, and Jacqueline pretended she married Onassis, and that's how the story went. Didn't stop the crazy. Now everybody's eyes like, what the heck? I just realized what I'm saying is new to some people just by the look on your face. I know you already think Kennedy died, you dog. Okay, you did. All right, what else? Anybody got a question? Yes.
Is there a cure for sickle cell?
Yes, there's a cure for everything, including death. And you may not believe it, because I'm hoping you young people hear me. There's a cure for everything. The thing is, how long do you want to live? Right now you think you want to live forever, right? Right? But if you was Bob Hope's age, would you want to still live forever? Let's look at it this way. Now that they're on the borderline of communicating with the dead, and now has been confirmed by certain scientists that there is some form of life after death. Correct? Now they have all these psychics out there that are proving beyond a shadow of doubt that they have the ability to communicate with the dead. Well, that's what it appears to be. Ask yourself, what happens once you know for a fact that when you die, relatives will pass away to bring you over? Think about it. How many times has any and every one of us decided, I'm fed up with his life, I don't want to live no more? Don't lie. Because everybody who pretend you ain't got a little insanity is crazy. Almost everybody out here at one time or another got fed up with life and said, I just had it. You follow? But you're too punky to commit suicide. You thought jumping in front of a train was going to hurt. So you're still here giving us a hard time. But suppose you knew beyond a shadow of doubt. Suppose you knew that once you pass, that your relatives, your greats are waiting for you, and they got a hand stretched, and they take you into a new world. Suppose they did this by communicating with you before you passed. You know what I'm saying? What would happen? For one, when an officer says, pull over. Everybody, pull over. He say, get out of the car. Excuse me, my English, but I'm saying what you say. No, I'm not getting out of the car. I'll shoot you. Whoa. You know, big deal. What about that time when all the bills, you know that time, right? And even those bills that we thought we were getting away with because they didn't give us the bill, so we was running that telephone up and didn't ever come and we like, damn, they forgot about me. And then just when we on Dubai Street on the corner of ain't got nothing, in comes this bill for $300 or $400, you're going, for the telephone company, oh, this is a back bill for so-and-so, you're like. And then you get frustrated, you say, get the open the fridge and take a bear and chill, open the fridge and more fly out. I ain't got no money to buy no food. So I'm going over to my girlfriend's house. I call my girlfriend and the guy pizza says what? You know what I'm saying? I just get down, go downstairs and go for a drive just to chill downstairs. It says empty. Hell, I'm just going to get some. I don't want to live no more. Don't say you haven't been to that road before where you don't want to live no more. But if you had a confirmation that everything is going to be all right, this world would be a different place. The way people get in arguments, there would be no such thing as road rage. There'd be road incidents. That's all. Get out of the car, put it down. Get out of there, I got your dungeon room. And we're near that now. We're near that state of mind right now. We're starting to accept just by the technology. You know what I'm saying? Communication. Oh, they already passed life on other planets. But who were they saying 20 years ago if I said there was life on Mars? You're crazy. Now they found life on Mars. Life on Jupiter. Not life on one planet, but life on more than one planet in our solar system. They found tri-star constellations, systems with three suns. It's on the internet. Go look it up. Things that they say is impossible have become possible. So life after death, which has always been based on faith and belief, is no longer simply faith and belief. It's now possible and bending towards probable. And to some, confirmed. You with me? How will that affect us as human beings? So, to answer your question, they have gotten to the point where they realize now we as a people are developing spiritually to the point where we know there's a life after death. That we know that there is a really a Jesus Christ. That we know there was really angelic beings. Whatever name you use and whatever language you speak, whatever country you're influenced by is not what's important. The reality is important. We know it's real now. And our attitude towards life is changing. Our attitude towards work is changing. Our attitude towards people are changing. You follow that? And we're in that day and time now where anything is possible. Tomorrow we can flick on the television and pit to tell us something we never even imagined before. You know what I'm saying? So we're at that period of time where life and death are becoming one, and the system is afraid to face the reality of in what direction our minds will start to elevate. Will we become gods? And does that change the definition of God when we become gods? When we reach to that level of God, the perfection in God, being his children, does God then raise to a higher level? And does that start another journey? Or does that end it? Or is that the beginning, and was this a path towards a beginning? All these questions become something to talk about. Years ago, it was simply, is there life after death? Is there heaven or hell?
Does God really exist? Is God dead? Was Jesus a real person? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I explained to y'all, I said to y'all before, you have two Jesuses in the Bible. I don't mean two Jesuses. We know there's three characters. I'm talking two births of two Jesuses and two Marys in the Bible. You know? People don't want to hear that. No, no, no. My Mary is my Mary. I said, well, which one? The one that had a child in a manger? Or the one that had a child under a date palm tree in the desert? What are you talking about? That sounds crazy. Well, in Matthew's and then they speak of the birth of a child in a manger, in the presence of wise men. In the book of Revelation, they speak of a child born under a date palm tree in the wilderness with dragons waiting to kill it, which is true. Or they're both true. They'll say, well, that's something that's the mystery about. I don't want the mystery about it. God said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. I don't want the mystery. I want the facts. If you can't give me the facts, step down off the pulpit and let somebody who God inspires stand up there. Let somebody who has the answers be up there and get down. Stop the preaching and start the teaching. Stop trying to be a good person and just be a good teacher. And let people become good people themselves. But what you are, you are. What you're going to be, you're going to be. Whatever is growing in you, it's like the tree. Whatever that thing is going to fertilize this ground enough, something's going to grow from here. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. I may not see it through, but the sand, but something's going to grow there. Every person here is a God in the making. And for no other reason than God said, I put my spirit inside you. God's spirit would be no more than a seed, because it wouldn't be God. I put my spirit in man, and man became what? But what's the catchword in between that? Man what? Became. He grew into. He changed into. He metamorphosized to become. I put my spirit into man, and man became a living soul. See, but we got God's time and our time mixed up. We're taking became like past tense. We're still becoming. Because we're not a living soul yet, are we? What are we? We are a living body. Are we not? Now, check back some of you younger folk. Your grandparents, your grandfather. I used to put my grandfather's jacket on and I was buried in it. He wore like a 48. Grandma had hips. Half these women had like little string beans. Half of the men here, we ain't got shoulder span no more. We were about anywhere from a 40 to a 42. And that's man size.
There's a man's body section for men's size.
Women buy their roles at a children's section. Are we metamorphosizing? Are we becoming smaller as human beings? Yes. Just check some history. Check on our size shoe your grandfather wore. 15s. Average man now is wearing a 10, 9.5, 11 the most. Old folks were 15, 12 on up. Are we changing? Yes. What are we becoming? We're becoming less physical and more mental. You talk about little midgets and little grays, we're almost there. Kids born out like these big old heads. Ain't too many little kids whose head match their shoulders. They're toting these big old tank heads. Something is changing. Kids' eyes are bright, born. When I was a child, kids wasn't born with hair. Kids wasn't born with nails. They had to wait 2 to 3 weeks before they got nails. Remember that? Now kids come out full, nails, some with teeth. Is this not a fact? I mean, we learned to grunt. You know what I mean? Pull. Crawl on one leg. Then crawl on two. Then move around and stuff, and then get up and stagger and fall. Children now come out and do this. They're walking. What does that mean? That means God's plan is still at work. We're behind time. Misinterpretation. People not looking at the word of God. And that's why I said, in the beginning was the, pay attention to the words of God, not the sentences of God. You can't even get past God's words, and here you are trying to interpret his sentences. Let's do it word by word. God breathed the breath of life. Got that? Into man. And man became a living soul.
And we're now still a living body. We don't become a living soul until the body is dead. That's the path we're on. That's the journey we're taking to become a living soul, a conscious soul. And that's the reward. The reward is to pass out of this physical body and yet still be conscious. There are lost souls. There are people that die, as they say, and have no spiritual connection. They're gone. Some people don't dream. Some people don't dream. Some people don't dream in color. This is real. They don't have no spiritual connection. And when they pass, that's it. This is as far as they're going. Because they'll never make it to the state of a living soul. Man became a living soul. You may say, well, became is past tense. Past tense in our time or God's time. Because it says in the Bible, what? One day to God is like a thousand years. So his idea of past tense and our idea of past tense is a great difference. What is the journey then? What is the path we're on? Huh? To become a living soul. And what happens when we become conscious of that? We become in tune with that reality that we're becoming a living soul. And we accept that reality. Then what? Then we're God. We talked about that. It's in Wizard of Oz. The journey led to a little person behind a mask pretending to be God. Do you realize that's why they're mad at you and I? You know that's why they're mad at Nuwabians, Nuwabs, or whatever they call us in the camp. You know why? Because they say he says he's God. And they don't realize they're quoting something in the Bible. When a priest said to Jesus, we're going to stone you because you say you are God. And Jesus said, is it not written in the law? I said, ye are God. They still try to stone him. They don't like us because of our consciousness, our connection with God. The reality we're starting to say, we are children of God. The Bible says God has children. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men. So, if there's sons of God on earth, and there's daughters of men on earth, who are the daughters of men? And what is their destiny? For the sons of God, destiny is to return to the bosom of God. To be with, as, and of God. To be one with God. That's our path. But there's some other people walking around the planet. Whose children are they? Huh? Children of the devil. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, I put iniquity between your seed and her seed. And we're her seed. We're even Adam's seed. So the devil has a... People are walking that seed. Walking with you. Eating at the table with you. Working with you. Flying next to you on the plane. Sitting next to you in the car. You don't even know this fool got marijuana. He didn't tell you that when he got in the car. He knew it because he purchased it. He knew it was illegal when he got in the car with you. But he didn't have the time to tell you, I got this marijuana with me and it's illegal. Because he knew doggone way he knew he was just putting it on my car. Then police pulled you over and police said, let me get dollar. He better drive like this. The police in this fool yelled out, why are you pulling over? This fool got the marijuana. He don't even know. I said, nigga, shut up. They served him, and next thing you know, you're in jail. The only way he said, man, he just messing with us. Man, this is racism. Man, this is harassment. Man, this is a... That was the devil sitting next to you. Now, you're looking for the devil to be right. That would make you feel so comfortable, so convenient to say, oh, all white people are the devil and all black people are God. Crap. If you believe that white people came from black people, then you believe the devil was black before he got white. If you teach that black people existed on the planet first and archaeologists, paleontologists, and everybody agrees with that, right? Then if the white man is bad, he came out of you, then bad came out of you. So now who be the father of the devil?
who that is. Talk real. Who it is? Came out you then, right? You want to face that reality? Can you tell the truth about yourself? Or can you only tell the truth when it's others? When the black Muslim want to stand up and say, all white people are devil, and all black people are angels. Crap. I got some uncles I know the devil. Now, if I got uncles saying about me, I know that nigga devil. But then you feel that. But it's inside. The devil's walking with you every day. I'm trying to give you a message. Y'all who are aspiring here to become one with and as and of God, be on your guard against the nearest person to you. Smiling faces tell lies. Or what? The backstabbers. Watch out for that best friend. You understand? Anybody who wants to be your best friend has a purpose. Friends are not something you pick up along the way. Friendship comes from trust. How many people had people they thought were their friends and stabbed them in the back? I should say, how many people didn't? Because I know 99% of us did. And I trusted that person. And I would do anything for that person if they stabbed me right in my back. But you know what they tell you about a snake? Huh? You knew he was a snake when you picked him up. See, most of the time, that friend was the friend who had the connection. Or the fancy car. Or knew where all the pretty girls hung out. Knew how to get in the party. That friend had all the connections, and that's why you cling to that friend. That friend had the delicacies of the harlots around him. Or her. That friend had money all the time. I like hanging out with him or her. They knew all the sharp places to go and the best restaurants. You hear me? And when I posted that way, I put down my God. G-O-D. I put down my God. I became off God. And that's why I got stabbed in the back. And that's why I got betrayed. And that's why I got hurt. But if I stay on that one path of reality and face reality that tomorrow anything can be said. And they might open up tomorrow and say,
Remington wasn't no nigga. Nobody blaming us for the guns on the street. You made it. And you taught cowboys are tough guys because they can walk down the street and whoever gets their gun first is a good guy. So you taught people to go out and kill kids. Kill each other, too. And they're still teaching it today. While they're saying it's wrong, you can go see Matrix and watch them kill people. Now they got cartoons killing people, killing each other. Demons and gargoyles in the cartoons. But they don't want prayer in school. A boy can walk into school with a comic book called A Demon to Hell and Gargoyle, but if he has a Bible, the teacher tells him, don't open that Bible, you better not read it here. But he can sit in his desk and read a book on the news. And we don't have a problem. We got a problem. We got a problem to solve. The only way we're going to solve it is where? Right inside here first. We got to solve it among ourselves first. We got to realize what we're up against. We got to realize every time we turn on a television program, we are being programmed. And so is his people. But the difference is, they're the seed of the devil. Like Christ said, he's a liar and a kill us since the foundation of the earth. And they don't want you to teach that. The devil is a man. They want you to think the devil is off the hot dog box. And he's a little red fella with a pitchfork, with horns. That's what they want you to think the devil is, when the devil is on the train with you every day. And you see the devil, you watch that mean, malicious, racist side. But no apparent reason. You literally find yourself saying, what the hell did I do to you? And he said, that's why. What the hell did I do to you? What the hell did I do to you? You, children of Adam, condemned me to hell. And I want to repent. We have condemned him
since the foundation of the world to hell eternal, and now he's gone. And now we get mad when he does that mistake. And Stephen looks at him like, you don't really know, huh? I'm the devil. I'm supposed to do these things, you stupid. You go down there and get all dressed up in the morning. You're the first one in line. You got all the credentials necessary. And you're going to get your job. You done graduated, kissed all the butts you could, did everything you're supposed to do. That's bad. And there's a list of people waiting. You waiting there and you're like, you know. I'm stressed. Right? Go in there and they say, sorry, ma'am, you are overqualified. Can a person be overqualified to do something? Can a chef be overqualified when he's cooking the food? Can a doctor be overqualified when he's so full of skills and things? How can I be overqualified to operate a computer? All I have to do is just go push the button and I'll be qualified. You're overqualified at one job. Underqualified on your job. And you walk out there, hey, what's going on around here? And you're not stopping saying, devil. Come in, know you say it's devil. When you come home, you see your brother all beat up by some old crazy guy. And he said, he pulled a gun. You said, my brother don't mess with him. My brother goes to choir. He goes to church every Sunday. My brother is a Bible total fanatic. He don't carry no gun. He's a crazy person. He don't care about you. He just care about his car and his thing on his car. He's beat up. There's some old crazy cop there when he pulled a gun on you. And you don't believe. But there's nothing you can do about it. And you look at that face of that man who was shot for a Jewish kid. And he looked up at the camera and smiled. Did you see him? He smiled. And you want to call that a man? That's devil. You better get back to reality. You walk in, we got a little comfortable around here. You started letting God start mistaking the devil. The devil is about here. Devil is here. He's moving through the world. He's more prominent now than he's ever been. Thank God. Last, I think it was 4 months ago. What's his name? That's right. Andrew Hunter said. Incorporated in 1966 in California. And who gave him his job? Ronald Reagan. President Incorporated in St. Louis Church. Don't believe me? Check it out. Go look it up. And let it blow your mind. Let it pebble it. They have concerts right here in Georgia on a military base because they have a satanic ritual to the death society. In the military base, we were going to 4 months ago. Everybody see that program? See, men with guns who are supposed to protect us are putting down the Bible and picking up things. That's right. Right up there in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, 3 years ago, they raided a big party. FBI agents, CIA, sure, having a big barbecue. In the middle of it was a big pentagram. They said, no, that's a sure symbol. Say, yeah, right, that's a sure symbol. A sure symbol is an inverted pentagram. No problem about it. They need our blood for their ritual. Underpop their disembodied souls who are trapped in their blood. Don't you remember in the Bible? What they say? God smells the sweet savor of the burning offering. They put a goat on an altar because the goat in the Bible represented Azazel, which is the devil's real name. Hear me? They call him the scapegoat. And they had two rituals they would do. They would drive a scapegoat to the edge of a cliff in the village and push him off. And it represented putting evil out of his mouth. But the priest, that's the bad ritual. But the priest would take the same goat and put him on the altar and cut his neck. And let the blood of the goat sprinkle down the altar and then burn the carcass. And they said, God liked the way the blood smelled. That's in your Bible. Also, something in St. Thomas College. They're always talking about drinking blood. And they say the best blood is the blood of pure innocence, virgin or innocent. It's all over me. They tell you what they do. And they don't want us to set up on this land and protect our families, because we will become that surviving group when they have planned to eliminate our people. Totally eliminate us. No, they can't live with us no more. We don't comply. We stop acting. When the last time you see the thing is that thing? I hate to say this, but when Sammy Davis is doing God, a certain kind of black man is God. But we ain't doing that. So, and the new mind came in with the young hip-hop mind. He quickly changed from break dancing to breaking dance. Hardcore, gangster rap, and scared hell out of death. So he made Puff Daddy, Sweet Sauce Man, come in there and change it around. To pull the gun out of his hand. He was scared. Because he knew that he might just stand on the corner of him. And they walk on by his side. I'm just going to put up. But for what you have done, the devil, he's only afraid of you. He's afraid of his unity. He's afraid of us coming together. He's afraid of the power that we generate when we get together. As we become in one accord, we start focusing our mind on anything. We start chanting on that thing, we start happy. It happens in service, it happens in the mosque, it happens in all religions. And God, I don't know whether you're a Christian, you are Muslim. Muslims go into ecstasy at 2 reasons. Christians are going to get the Holy Ghost, the same power. It's not that. The power is in you. But God said what? I bring my spirit into you and you became a living soul. You ain't a man, you're a living soul. He's a man. You're a spirit incarnating. And you have the power to project that energy. But you confine yourself to the body. And in that, you confine yourself to certain places in space and time. You've limited yourself by accepting the confinement to the body. When you can think right now, from here back to your house, go to your room, go to your bedroom, and make up that damn bed. Walk on out the room. Walk on to the kitchen. Stop and look around. This, you are there and you are here at the same time. When you learn to control that mind power, you can send a powerful you, a deep you, anywhere in the world or the universe. In that state, you cannot die. But if they can confine you by pain and suffering and fear to a bed, where all your mind is based on getting up out of that bed to die, you are bound to that spot. You are instantly trapped in a space and time. Just the same way, like I said before, where I focused the video game on you, and I spun out, hit that light, spun that light would go into that lens and burn itself into the lens, and that light would stay there for a while and gradually fade away. Same thing happens with you and death, but you are an entity. The physical part of you makes the light. And then the soul of you gets it done. That's why when people are conceived, they're conceived while in one state, light of God. They're in the womb of God. No man's hand can get in there and operate. The devil has now put light in the womb. What is light? Chaos. And then he now has light in the womb. He's scaring the babies before they come in the world and introduce them to light. Of course, there's a couple of people here and there trotting that old path of Freemasonry, and you think you know what you're talking about. But the question comes up, what does a Master Mason train
the Son. That's Jamaican. Not to make his favorite tears when he becomes a taskmaster and replaces it with the Son when he tells him that Son is lost. Follow that? So now, what state is the world in? Please, don't answer too quick. What state is the world in if it needs the Son to light it up? Look up there. It's black. Yet there are more suns out there than the one we see. Why is it not lit up? Because darkness dominates the light. You cut the light off in the dark. When you see a person, you know you don't really see the person. All you see is light reflecting on them. Please don't believe dark souls. Check it out. When you everything you think you see, you don't really see. You see light reflecting off of them and it's giving you that thing. You see in darkness. You stay in a state of darkness. And God is in darkness when he said, let there be light. Okay, live in light, be in light, and stay in light. You see, that's why it's not lit up. Otherwise, you're not. But when you want to go to sleep, cut it off. When you should be, understand. You should have the lights on. You say, I can't sleep and it's the light on. Your soul is made. You should feel safe with God. You feel comfy in darkness. You know why? Because when you look home, what do you do? Now you fall up into a little knot, like a little baby. You start to feel comfortable. And you know what that is? You know what that remembrance of? When you were in the womb of your mother in darkness. You are safe in darkness. They spent millions of dollars in purchasing that information to make you think life is safe. God is in darkness. Watch this. The world is lit up. Correct? Let's think of two places, heaven and hell. I want you to give me, tell me something about hell. What's one of the first things that comes to your mind when I say hell? Fire. Is that darkness or light? So now, whose world is hell? The devil, okay? And the hell, and hell is lit up by, so the devil goes in and lightens the fire. So God must not dwell with the devil. So God must be, light can only exist if kindled and stimulated by things on the physical plane. If there's no oxygen to air, fire won't burn. Now, can God's fire ever go out? So then God must not be in fire, something ignited. God must dwell in not just God, but in simple God. Three days, three times, three God. That's God, because you exist in darkness. So God's darkness got to be three stages. Darker than yours. So there, now this is it. Watch it. Can God dwell in earth then? Catch yourself. It's in the Bible. Can God dwell in earth? But when he's in earth, is he in light or is he in darkness? Let me go back to the Bible. And I'll start before I go there by saying that you're conceived in the womb in darkness. You're in the womb in darkness. God says, right, I put my spirit in the man, and man became a living soul. So God placed a portion of himself inside human beings, really? And human beings walk in this world of life. And God is inside the human being, inside God. So even God in Christ on earth is still in the heart of Christ in God. God never steps into the light. Men step into the light, and the light blinds. Cut out the light. Now check this out. Cut out the light. Put you
you in the middle of the room, pitch black, no sound, and your body will do this. You become the room. You become boundless. Put you in a room, that's a subway, and pitch black and you see no walls. If you live, you're in the center of the whole universe. No more. Everything and everybody is evolving around you. Because God is in you. And God is the foot or the center of the universe. So wherever you are, God is. And wherever God is, he's in the center of all things. So if I'm sitting in this side of the room, and you're sitting on that side of the room, we're both in the center of the universe to each of us. That's how well God is. That's what they mean by God in all places, all times, everywhere. Wherever you are, God is. And God seeks you too. Whenever you get ready to do the wrong thing, you say, what is a little voice inside? That's a little voice. That's a big voice, nigga. You just don't listen. Tell me, don't do that. Don't take that. Don't smoke that. Don't put that demon on. Don't steal that. Then another voice, your voice, the voice of life is gone. Says, three cookies, take one. And never even know it. So God walks with you all the time. And Christ says, what is this? Is it not written in your because there he is supposed to be a Hebrew and supposed to be an Israelite and he's quoting the psalm, but he's not referring to that as ours or if he's God, my Lord. He said to them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are God. Hear that? What Christ God said? He said it right there. Is it not written in your law? I said it. He said, I'm God, and that law is for you. And in that law, I told you, you are God. But all of you are the children of the Most High. Don't get too cocky. Don't get too up in you without putting you in place. And God puts people in their place. Right? I know those people in Turkey are in their place. How many people are left now? 30,000 dead people in one earthquake? Allahu Akbar. That's Muslim country there. That ain't Christian country. All the Muslims in the world have to stop and say, where was Allah? Ain't the kind of Allah from Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That's in Arabic, where was Allah? Where in Canada, who? That's in Sudanese. Where was he? In Arabic. And they can't tell you. You know why? Because the Muslims started getting cut. So God has reminded Muslims that he don't have a name that y'all can pronounce. Because if you can pronounce the name, it wouldn't be his name. Because if you can pronounce the name, it wouldn't be his name. Y'all would stay with me. If you could pronounce God's name, then you would have mastered the art of God. Even down to the fact that you're able to just pronounce his name and thus get his attention. He would no longer be moving at his own will, he'll be moving at your command. Yes, by virtue of the fact that he knows his name. You get it? Now, does anybody? Like I say again, one more time. If you know God's name, this is Sharonda. If I went on that side of him, I said, Sharonda, and you'd be at my command because I threw out a stone that represents you. So you would have surrendered to my call. Hear me? Right. Religious people would like to make you believe that the way you contact God is that you say, Allah, Jesus, Jehovah,
doctrine. They want to make you think that that's how you contact and they touch the God. But if God responded to you, he would be your servant and you not his. He would be responding to your commands or your demands. And God doesn't do that. And that's why the Hebrews who fathered the New Testament, which fathered or mothered the Quran, tell you, we don't use the name of God. We don't know it. And in the largest worldwide, they say, the true meaning and sound of God's name has been lost. For that the few that do know it don't dare speak it. Now, who would know? Huh? Not me. Would God know his name? Don't answer so quickly. Would God know his own name? No. Because God doesn't have a name. Who named him? And what would he do? See that? Who named him? And why? Why would God give a name? You know why God would give a name? Because some morals want to make God a mouth. Because when they make God a mouth, they're able to place him as a person, a place, or a thing. And we are not happy about mystery. We're not happy about the unknown. We want to know things. That's the inquisitive creature we are. So we want to name God something that we say, Jesus, okay? Allah, all right? Then I start saying what? Then I got to give you a meaning. What does the law mean? John, what does the law mean? What four letters. What they mean? What does God have a hand? You keep typing it down. And it only works as long as hydrogen was the lightest atom. But now the scientists have come to the invention that hydrogen is not the lightest atom, then God don't have a name. But God don't sum up to anything. He doesn't sum up to anything. He is not to be weighed. He is not to be labeled, placed, confined. God is God. God is what? That's who. God is where? Yep. God is who? God is. And when mortals try to place God in any place other than the doctrine that exists before the life and after the life, God in his mystery moves to a limited world in a hundred hearts. You. God moves to this world in you. Well, is that where? Well, only if he owns you would be where. Because then it would be there. Because where is there? We're together. But where is there? There. But if it says you, everybody here, then you can't become a there, and therefore you cannot make it anywhere. You with me? God is. You are naturally linked to God. You are part of God, and God is part of you. God, some say, is love. Right? Imagine that. Imagine the embodiment of all love for everything, every kind of way in humanity. Then imagine if God loves you with the top of that way. You know what I mean? If God is touched through compassion in the first, the weight of the touch through compassion and concern would crush him. He would crush him accidentally because he loves. If he is power and he's light
are getting energy from the universe, channeled through wires and lit up. If you ever touch God's hand, my God, you are getting for the shock of your life. The power, you can be electrocuted by that light. Imagine that you touch into the source of all the energy in the universe. Go down to me. You know the funny thing? You wouldn't go anywhere. But there's really no way to go where you're not. You won't be what you are when you're a problem. Your sense, he does not need us contemplating on this level. He needs to have us contemplating on the level of God is in my image as the Lord Jesus Christ, and he looks like me, and he's coming back to say, that's where he needs me. He doesn't need to start expanding the power and the glory of God on the physical conversation. He don't need that because you'll start to make a list and you'll start to snap at some of the things that are in place. And then you'll call you crazy because you'll look at things that people are mad about and will laugh. But you say, how could it happen if God didn't want it? How could it happen if God didn't want it? So everything that happens is the will of God. Say, what about the devil? Well, where did he come from? Who made him? God. So the devil is the will of God. Why? Huh? Balancing to what? Balancing to what? I bring back because God is calling you according to doctrine and theology. God is good. And the devil is bad. The devil is not equal to God, so they're definitely not Bible. Because God created the devil. Not, is that not true? So the Bible is the devil is man. And the God is man. The good of you is the Bible of the devil. The devil is out for you. The devil can't tempt God. Go read the book of Job. Go to the book of Job. So the devil is not before God. The book of Job, he was what? Humble. God said, where have you been at? Which is very strange. Which might be very strange, God had to ask somebody where they was at. Where you was at? And he answered, I was walking to and fro in the earth. And God didn't believe him. God said, wait. He's not watching all things all the time. Right from the court, after what I've been taught all my life, that I might be not being right. I'm right now, God might be doing something else, like saying, yes, an angel, and not looking at me. I need him. But I might explain why maybe he's fall out of the window because God don't catch that. That might be the answer. God don't have full attention on you. Now, why wouldn't God have full attention on you? Because God is in you, and you're not keeping the light of God out of God to watch this world. You have cut off the light. You're not conscious of the presence of God in you. You are afraid of that reality, but with that reality comes responsibility that you don't want. You don't want to be responsible for all the stuff that's taking place in the world, God. So it's much easier to put God off in a remote place, out of reach, and look up to worship. Much easier than traveling inside and finding the peace of God inside and letting it work its way out. It's so much easier or so much secure for me to say, no, God is up in heaven. And when someone says, where? How far? What last year? Don't you question God. God is just beyond question. But he said he put himself in me. Is he in me if he said it? If he said it, he said, then he's in me. So when you see me, you I think I heard a man say, when you see me, you see God. And they love me for it. But when I say it, I'm laughing. If you say it, you say you're crazy. You say God, you say, no, I'm not God. When you see me, you see God. Boy, are you crazy? But I can go to the Bible and Jesus said, you see. What happened? The manifestation of the devil out
power on earth. Moves through us, controls our emotions and our thinking, and has clipped the connection we have with God inside, making us look for God outside. And looking for God outside is limiting God, because it's saying he's in a specific place somewhere. And they call it a place. And yes, he's in heaven. Have you ever went to a dictionary and looked at the word heaven to find out what it means, really? No. Most people haven't. Heaven is not the description of the word kingdom. You know what that is? A marina. You know what a marina is? Where ships dock. So when you say heaven, you're saying a place where ships go. Look it up in the dictionary. So you say God's in heaven. He arrives there. From where? In what? You know what they're talking about? They're talking about their version of God leaving earth and ascending into heaven. They're not talking about God the Father. They're talking about God the Son when they speak of God being in heaven. I'm going to tell you why. You want to know why? Because God would not be in heaven. God would be heaven. Because if God was in heaven, God would be inside us. And God cannot be confined any one place at any given time. He's too powerful for that. But his son can, and his children can, and he can be everywhere in each and every one of you, but not solely in you, nor was he solely in Christ. And that's why Christ said, all of you. He said, don't all of you are the children of God. All of you are God incarnated. The life of God, the breath of life. I read in the man that in the beginning was the word was God, the word was God, the same as the beginning. With God, all things made by him. Without anything made, was made without him. In him was the life of the light of man, the light down the dog, the dog, the dog, the dog. Boom, John chapter 1. What does it mean, though? In the beginning was the Word. Someone spoke the Word. And there's no reason to speak a word if someone else is not listening. If you go in your room with the intentions of taking a shirt or a blouse out of the dresser, you don't start with the kitchen then. I'm going to go in the room and take the shirt out of the dresser. I'm taking the shirt out of the dresser. I have the shirt. I'm going into the mountain to put the shirt on. The only reason why you would do that is because you said to your brother, listen, I'm going into the room to get my shirt. Don't bother. Don't be in the bathroom. I come out and I'm going in the bathroom to put my shirt on. That's why you have a word in the beginning of the conversation, talking to somebody. But when you raise the question, God talking to him? He said, nobody. Because God was talking to him. What about talking to him? Well, that would have to, then you have to say the angels were created before men. Well, what is? Okay, so if God was talking to him, he said, let us make man in us. Huh? Yes, what else did he say? Let us make man what? So the man is the image of God in at the same time. So now which part are you now? What part are you now? Are you right now in the image of God or in the image of angels? Because he said, I breathe into you the breath of life, and you became a living being. And he told them that the Holy Ghost is the spirit or ruach or message of God. Right? God's Spirit brings the messages from God in the form of the Holy Ghost, the model of God. So that you are really in what you are. You are really in a soul form as we. He said, well, what am I doing here? And this world is lit up. You are a fallen angel. You just don't want to admit
you fell from grace, and you are in hell. But now, and it is worse. Say, this is hell? Tell me, God, what makes this hell? Okay, right? Let me get in the middle of this. What makes this place hell? Who is this? God. Now remember now, there are so many that said two created forces in God. One created gravity and heaven. God made man in his image after his likeness. Thus man and woman are in his image after the likeness of God. And what God does and is capable of doing and does and is capable of doing, or they're not independent and after the likeness of God, they're alive. Now which is it? The Bible says that you're in his image after the likeness of God, or you are in his image and have the power of God, or you're not. What's this? The Bible says, the Lord, so you what? So that God didn't have it. And God is awful. And God is Adam. And God is Ham. And God is heart attack. Amen. God is, Did you tell me? To be left there, Lord. He said, Simon, not vagina. But God must give you respect too. Because man is a man who is like the God, who is responsible for the now functioning part of the man. At what point did man stop being God in his purity and become God in his failing, decrepit, falling apart, all things break down, just bones over the floor? When did it happen? When did the pain of all violence come in? For God, God has already. It came in when you fell from grace. That's how you know you're in hell. Because you start off with this. She is as healthy as she can be. Her bones are good, her eyes are good, her teeth are good. She's getting a piece of her hand on it and speeding up the process. Her organs are all good and healthy. But then, what happens? They start to kill her.
Welcome back. My name is Dr. Valen Christie. I've been a student of the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York, for 10 years. And in those 10 years, I've been exposed to nothing but undisputable truth, from the Nubian Islamic Hebrews, to the Ansar Allah community, to the Holy Tabernacle Ministry, to the ancient and mystical order of Malachi Zadok. I've been through all the schools of higher learning. And now, I'd like to introduce the man of our time, the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York.